want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hello, all.
You caught me a little bit there. You did. You knew that, didn't you?
Oh, we'll take a break. Give you a minute to get yourself together.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
Is there a problem with your microphone mic?
No. You know, as a matter of fact, my microphone is absolutely perfect. It's just like it's been since, you know, since the cable went fritzy the other day.
Huh? Is this an issue with our engineer, Wendell Hall? Well, hold on. Now his microphone is turned off.
He needs some slack in his microphone cable.
Buzz, I've noticed this about him.
Uh-huh.
He's a pampered man, isn't he?
Well, he needs his slack.
Look at him. Sitting there. At least he's got his shirt buttoned up. But he came in the office today.
Well, it's hot outside.
He's got on a long sleeve shirt.
Right.
With the sleeves rolled up, which is fine.
I am back.
And he had his shirt unbuttoned all the way down to his belly button virtually.
Do you know why I like my little cable thing to be adjusted, Mr. Man?
Why, Mr. Man?
So I can see you.
Oh,
if it's not, if
well,
it's hanging down, really, here's our little
that.
Line of sight, okay? And when it's drooping down and not put together professionally, I can't see you. And this has got a little thing in it where it's supposed to run right up the thing and back down the thing, and it hasn't been done. And I just was a little frustrated, and I came in the other day, and I fixed it, and then somebody messed with it. So, am I pampered? You bet I am.
Mike, was there an engineer you were thinking of when you were going through that problem?
You're not going to get me into that trap.
As a matter of fact,
I'd lay dollars to donuts.
I love that expression.
Yeah. But that wasn't done by an engineer. That was done by somebody else that was here.
Now, would you like to say something nice about the engineer?
I would like
to balance out what happened yesterday?
Wow, let's not go crazy. But what I like to say, you know, I love Wendell Hall like a brother. All Wendell did was fix the cable. Somebody else came in and messed with it.
Ah, gotcha.
This is not Wendell's fault.
Right. So this VD is not directed at Wendell Hall, our engineer.
No.
Much love to Wendell.
As a matter of fact, you could probably say this is directed at all the DJs that work here. VD.
Color me guilty.
Amen. And me.
We've got VD. That's one of the things you have to have to work here. You know, you have to have good pipes.
Right.
Right. You got to have a tight board.
First class ticket.
And you got to have VD.
Oh, it's in the health plan. The first class ticket or second class? Or third class ticket?
Third endorsed.
Mm-hmm. Third endorsed.
Third
ticket.
Endorsed. That's something.
Don't have to have that anymore.
When the FCC made everybody have licenses.
Hey, this is good music. This is cicada music.
All right, that's why the chickens are happy.
Popping out a hole, popping out a hole, flying around the air.
Everything is cicada music to you.
Well, you know what? I have a theory about that I'd like to share with you.
Sure.
We had that one little exoskeleton the other day.
Yes, sir.
Other than that, this is a complete and total ruse.
Mike, if you remember
no such thing as cicadas.
Do you remember what I told you weeks ago, or last week, days ago, hours ago, on some previous show? The 15th is the day that the cicadas are arriving.
I have piles of them at my house.
I'm telling you.
It's like ankle deep in my yard with cicadas.
I saw the big thing on TV last week.
Uh-huh.
They arrive on May 15th.
Well, right.
Mine arrived early.
Yeah, Buzz, I believe you and him.
Who's been panicked about it for the last week?
I think I bought into the hype, and now I feel like a fool.
Come to my house.
We're doing this.
Of course, Buzz saw all the cicadas in his yard because he certainly wasn't out getting his hair colored.
Oh, God. Where'd that come from?
Just another from his tapestry of lies.
I'm going to beat you senseless.
All right, well, Buzz, congratulations.
Hey, now.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yes, we are, but first, let's welcome to the
Julia. There's all the young
people. I hate those guys.
There you go.
Daughter away from those people.
Hi, Uncle.
He's gonna truth.
Say, Uncle.
He was a neo-Nazi. discretion advised.
Such a good girl. Boys, not so much.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Dugan. All the ships at sea. One in a cowboy hat, one with a guitar, and both blissfully nude. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ron.
Hello,
everybody.
Oh, that was from Playgirl magazine yesterday, right?
Right.
Hi, and thank you for listening. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Thursday.
Thursday 05-13-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz.
See, this is what we didn't do yesterday.
Right. We didn't do it like this. Doesn't this feel better?
Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. From Canada, please be calling 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. What, Mike?
I just think, whenever we can start the show with the threat of physical violence from Buzz directed at Rob,
yeah.
To me, that's rocking.
He's gone too far this time.
That's a basic rule of showbiz. You know, no matter who's on stage, you leave with a laugh.
Right. Right.
You leave with a laugh. And that's what we did. That was the laugh.
Yeah.
That was the laugh. Although I'd like to see it. I think Rob could put up a fight.
If he keeps that up, you may.
I think Rob could put up a fight. From Washington, D.C.
Rob could be a football player with his size.
It would be easy.
Call us at 202-432-1067 from WJFK. Now, that would be a good fight. Rob, have you ever been in a fight?
No.
No? How about you, Buzz?
Not really, no.
No, that would be a good fight.
Not really. Yeah. I don't think either one of us would show up.
I don't think anybody in this room has.
I was trying to avoid showing up.
No, Mike has never been in a fight.
You know, Mike's been in a fight.
Really, I think it's been quite a few years, and I think that whole thing about me
is... Let's be honest.
Well, no, it hasn't been quite a few years. Sorry.
And let's be honest, Rob.
Yes?
Are we counting what happens in your happy home?
It's two-sided, doesn't it?
Those aren't fights.
Yes, it does.
Per se.
Well, I don't know. You know, Buzz is... For a man of 50, you know, and now it's just funny to say his regular age.
Yeah, it is.
Right. For a man of 50.
And sad.
You know, he's okay. He's eating his egg.
He's in the best shape of anybody on this show.
Yeah, he's eating his egg. Protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, look at Rob. Look at Rob. But then again, how old are you, Rob? How old are you? 30 what?
33.
And see, the thing about Rob is I think he's got the gentle giant factor.
Yes.
I think that if properly inspired in a true fight,
tall man, a large frame.
The idea is comical to me.
I know.
He is such a lover, not a fighter. You know, he is a gentle giant.
And so is Buzz.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, Buzz is also very much a hippie pacifist.
But yeah, I think Buzz is more of a pacifist. Rob's got a darker soul.
I think if properly motivated in a fight, I could see Rob with proper coaching.
Yes.
Like picking up a trash can.
No coaching. No trash can.
Just beating Buzz senseless with it.
I think so. I think, you know, you're talking about, you know, wanting to... They both lack the killer instinct.
Yes.
And you know what? To a certain extent, you and I lack the killer instinct when it comes to physical combat.
Well, I've never been in a fight. I'm in the same category. I never have been.
But your soul,
I lack the killer instinct.
My brother.
I've been in a few scrapes, but I've lacked the killer instinct. The guys that friends of mine that know how to do that, you know... Are the only way that you do that well, really, is you... someone told me this one time. You really have to be prepared to kill the other person.
No.
That has to be your mindset.
With Rob and so I, it's going to be pinch, slap, and bite.
Yeah. That's the only way you're good at that.
Bitch slapping.
Yeah.
Lots of bitch slapping. Lots of insults.
Right. I've never gotten by the fact that I really... I worry a little bit about really hurting somebody else, even if I'm angry at them, you know? And the guys that don't care about that, they're the guys you want to avoid.
All right.
Yeah, I think it would be a lousy fight, because you can't fight with your black soul.
So hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to go back to what you just said for a second. You think that... So you're able to harness...
I've been in... You know, I'll have, like, a few pops and, like, say something to a guy and get myself in a situation. But I've been in a lot of situations that, you know... I mean, I've never been hurt badly. Not really badly.
Not badly, hopefully.
Not badly, hopefully.
I mean, usually in a situation like that, stuff gets broken up and it's stuff like that. But I think really...
You've been in fights where stuff gets broken up?
Yeah.
Like a typical barroom brawl?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, but not...
Like the Old West.
Not anything bad.
Uh-huh.
No.
No. No, it's just like, you know, you shove a guy shoves you. You talk about his mother, he takes a swing at you, you take a swing at him.
Uh-huh. Ever have a ladder back chair broken over your head?
Worst time I ever had was I was in a little scrape many years ago, decades ago.
Another life.
I was in a little scrape, and unfortunately, the principals didn't get hurt.
but a couple of people in the bar because glasses fell on the floor got hurt. And like a wine glass went down into somebody's foot.
Yeah.
Ow.
That's when I like crawled on the floor and escaped. That's
well, I was brutal. In Safeway today. It was like three women that had the aisle block.
Right.
I actually pushed against one of them and said, "Could you move, please?"
And then
the sexual way?
Fist began to fly.
No, that's the well, Rob, it could have gone either way. As always, because, you know, it's a passion. No matter what you're talking about, it's passion. Whether you're making love with your body parts or with your fists.
That's not the proper way to handle that. Did you have a shopping cart?
I did not have a shopping cart.
The proper thing is to get a shopping cart and get a running start.
Well, I'd like to see that fight someday. Someday between you two. And Buzz, if he ever provokes you enough,
yes.
Let me know.
All right, now you'll know.
If he ever he pops you verbally, you feel you've got to pop him.
You guys have to remember also, you guys are all happily married guys. And now don't laugh at me when I say
you're
that, okay?
Half right.
Let me tell you something. I'm out there, you know. I'm out there in the bars, uh-huh. And I'm out and that kind of stuff late at night happens a lot.
I know you're a single, successful guy.
No, it's not being single. It's just being out there. And I'm not talking about me getting into them. I'm saying that happens, and usually, you know, it happens, once a weekend somewhere.
But don't you see what really caused all of this, talk of me and Buzz fighting, is the cicadas. Mm-hmm. We can't let this happen.
And I take it back. I do believe in them. And I believe it's going
I believe.
It's going to be horrible.
I'll bring you a bucket of them tomorrow.
I don't want them. I want to see my own. I think one flew into my hair. But it was gone there? Before.
Thank God you're still okay.
It might have been another insect. I don't know, but I got the... And then it was gone. It could have been something else.
Buzz, do you have the shells or do you have the actual creature?
I have every stage of cicada development. I have the larva. I have the pupa. I have the shells. I have the flying thing.
Hey, that could be a good DJ there.
Is it any wonder he's so mad?
No, I'm sorry I said what I said.
Stay tuned for the larva and pupa show.
I'm pupa.
And I'm larva.
Pupa in the morning, larva in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz angry always. But you know what? And now, check the roller coaster here on the emotional scale of Buzz.
Uh-huh.
We don't often take Buzz's emotional pulse during the show. Ours is often known because we're big mouth.
Yeah, and we let you know really right away, especially at the beginning of the show.
Like, look at Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2 days ago, he was suicidal.
A little down.
What did the lady say with the lady about the pill? Oh, the egg that is crying.
The crying
egg on TV. That was Buzz. And look at him. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, he appeared to be
better.
Happy and
mm-hmm.
calm.
Mm-hmm.
And then today.
Today, look out.
You know, the way I see it, a physical threat on Rob Spiewak by Buzz Burbank.
I think the comment was,
"Beat Snick.
I'll beat you senseless."
That was it exactly.
That's a quote.
There you go.
That's a quote.
And just remember, what that means is, that's not just hitting. That's hitting, knocking down, and hitting until the person loses consciousness.
Rendering unconscious.
Possible,
beyond that.
Possible brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
Thank Christ, he's in another room.
I mean, one shot.
By glass.
One shot to the temple, and we're at a funeral.
That's right.
Yeah. Down. Yeah. Down goes Spiewak.
And I know you hadn't anticipated attending my funeral for another 4 years.
What if it was a stunning upset?
Oh.
Down goes Burbank.
Oh, right.
Down goes Burbank.
That would be, incidentally, and I just want to say, that would be horrible to watch. But part of me would say, it'd be funny to watch.
It would be horrible to watch. But
you and I would be just doing, oh, okay, guys, stop it, but then we'd be laughing.
It's too great. The only show that I can possibly, like, listen to this lame segue, but I have to just mention, American Idol. This is, and my girl got voted out last night.
Hey, this is a total injustice.
Now, Mike, listen, everybody that I spoke to last night, immediately after the phone, and incidentally, Mike, congratulations, you're in the phone tree.
Yeah, last night we were seriously in the phone tree.
Mike's in the TV phone tree.
Mm-hmm.
So we're watching this, Frieda and I are watching this, and I'm on the phone with all of the buddies, and LaToya gets voted out, my phone starts ringing, and...
I got a busy signal from you last night.
Sure.
Well, that's because, you know...
Yeah, I know.
The party line was going over.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was just one of those TV times when we just all had to talk.
You know what the saddest moment was?
What?
When I picked up the phone to call you... And when I picked up the phone, I actually heard you dialing my number. What is the timing on that?
We're in the middle. This is a horrible scandal.
No, it's not. Listen, I say the same thing now as I did last night. Listen, this is why American Idol right now is the greatest show on television.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the RF, or excuse me, let me just cut that down a little bit. The TF, the TARD factor.
Uh-huh.
America, this is what I love. I believe...
Mike, Might be the SF.
I believe the voting.
Might be the SF.
And what's that?
I believe that. The sympathy factor.
Okay, whatever.
I think the waterworks made people feel sorry for Jasmine.
If you voted for that Hawaiian girl because she was crying, well, then you're a tard. Because LaToya London is out of the contest. She was the best singer. Did you vote for her, Mike?
Color me. Hello! I'm a tard.
Welcome. Well, then why were you complaining last night when you called me up?
Well, you know what? I voted for it just because I thought nobody would vote
everybody
for it.
Voted for
it. And then everybody voted for it, probably like the reason I voted for. I felt so, this is a little kid
either
who
way,
was getting beaten up, and I felt bad for her.
Either way, what a fantastic show. The girl that I thought was going to win is out of the competition.
I mean, but what I don't understand.
Still, I love it.
I know. I don't get that LaToya. I mean, of all, I just don't get it.
Mike, it is...
I don't get it.
It's the tard factor.
But previously, the best singers came down to the wire. The two best, Ruben and Clay, were the best singers in the competition.
Mike, give me 1 second, I'll explain it to you. American Idol has grown every year in popularity. Now it is so all-encompassing, 30 million people a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have people like Buzz, who got turned onto it this year, didn't stay with it,
no,
but got turned onto it. It's Check such it a out. Phenomenon. Everybody's watching and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have, as in any case, when you're getting a large number of people together, the more people you add, generally speaking, the IQ, the room temperature, goes down a little bit
so
more.
So the curve gets better.
Yes.
The grading curve.
You know, mm-hmm. you dumb it down. What used to be a hard C suddenly becomes a B minus.
Something about LaToya, I think, really just didn't strike a chord with the American people. This is the second time that this injustice has happened, where the best talent has not gotten...
Hey, hold on. But it's not an injustice. It's a stupid TV show.
Oh, I know.
It's great.
But I mean, when you get down to the end of it, if you're a fan of it like I am, I'm sitting there going, oh man, I want to see the most talented person win.
I don't.
Now I do, because you know we don't have any John Peter Lewis's anymore. They all are passable.
Here's the thing: whoever wins this dumb contest, they're not going to be a star. Do you think Clay Aiken is a star?
I do.
And incidentally, how about the way that they took him last night?
I just think that they're all just doing just a super job. You're just so special. Each and every one of you.
They had him with some sideburns, and he's got these glasses on, and he was looking all...
And I'm so...
professional.
I look so much like a troll that they're just going to take my hairstyle and make it go in all sorts of little directions and stuff like that.
Whoever wins this thing, they're not going to be stars. You know, they're going to have their maybe 8 to 12 months in the limelight, and then they're going to be gone. So forget it.
Clay's working on his Christmas album, Don.
Okay, and when you heard that, like me, didn't you think to yourself, that's the first sign that it's over?
No, the first thought I had that came into my mind was, when will it be available in stores? But would you not agree?
He is funny.
That this crop this year, that something really... I think, really, when you're talking about the entire nation, that at the end of this process, I don't know whether you blame the judges.
But Mike, it's not the whole nation.
They
only won like the 4 or 5 cities.
Yeah.
It's not really a nationwide.
They have to change it, because I think there are more talented people in America. And they have to. I'd like to have a better crop of talent to choose from.
Not me.
You know.
I like it the way it is. I like it with the untalented people. I loved the drama last night. You know, here's the thing.
You did your point about it being the greatest show on television because of the way they... Because you never know what's going to happen. That is a good point.
Last night was like... what's a vivid sports memory for me? Seriously. When the Jets won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I remember...
Kind of an upset.
I was 11 years old. And I remember just standing there looking at the television going, the Baltimore Colts... Because the AFL, when I was a kid, I thought, hey... suck.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay kills them every year.
Joe Willie Namath.
Yeah.
He predicted a victory.
So that's an upset. And certainly right. American Idol is not along those lines. But last night, I mean, what other show gives you that where you're positive? You are absent, just like the Jets were 21-point underdogs.
You knew it.
Everybody thought that Hawaiian girl was out.
What about your theory, your other theory about this, that the young guys think that Jasmine's a little hottie and that's why they're voting for her?
Yeah, maybe there's some chubby chasers that like that Diana girl.
Hello.
Because they...
No.
I think she's
kind of cute.
Oh, come on.
See, Mike?
No, that's like JonBenet Ramsey.
Well, I know. She's
taken to the end. She's like a little stage kid.
I know she's young.
I mean, she sang beautifully.
I'm just saying.
So is the Hawaiian girl.
She did a very nice... I don't think Jasmine's like a little stage kid, is she?
Well, she's 16.
Yeah, she's young.
Do you think either one of them have experienced carnal knowledge? Man, that's a tough question.
16 in this country? I'm going to say yes.
I'd say absolutely on the fat girl.
Okay, father of son, father of none. All right, let me just say, that freaks me out.
Diana DeGarmo looked great, though, in her her In Living Color Arsenio outfit last night.
Donna Summer has got... I mean, talk about Baby Got Back.
Oh,
and
man, there was like a race on the
You could really adjust that wardrobe a little bit.
And it did look like Donna Summer, seriously, had a love seat in the back of her pants.
You can set a beat on that, sure.
Now, she can still sing, although...
You know, she can still sing. Let's do the high notes like
she had to cheat on those high notes. She had to just go... Whoo!
But when she came out and sang, you realized... How little talent there is on American Idol.
So what? How great is that? That's like, look at the Jets won last night. That little Hawaiian girl is Joe Namath.
It's pretty weird. It just was very... I didn't know what to make of it. I really...
So, now, with the busy signal, is there a conference call in your future, and should there be a third Princess
song? Well, when Don called me, he said, this is the greatest TV show.
Right.
He was delighted with the upset. I was still getting over the, what the hell is going on? I mean, what is wrong? Don... understands the tard factor.
Loves the twist.
You know what?
Turn.
As probably you always have more than I do. You've always been a little more tapped into that than I have.
The tards?
You know where the tards are going. Don't you really? You sometimes have to talk me into coming along for the ride when you're ahead of that curve with the tards. You know, say, Mike, the tards are going. And I said, there's no way. He said, well, they're tards. Come on now.
And so am I. I've got a tard card.
But you didn't see that one coming. Like.
No, I didn't. But I loved it because it was a fellow tard out there. 200, 300 tards out there that voted the most talented person off that show. That's great. You know, otherwise, why watch it? If every week
you had
incredibly talented people, and every week you had to go, oh, God, that person's so talented. Why are they going? There's three left. Oh, they're all so talented. No, come on. You know, it's like I wouldn't mind going to a car show where you see nice brand new cars, and then someone just got a piece of garbage there. They just got, like, the Volkswagen thing. You would be drawn to the Volkswagen thing.
Okay.
You'd be drawn to
it. You'd root for it. But now it's anybody's game.
I
agree. For Jasmine. I think Jasmine's gone this week.
I disagree.
Really? I don't know now.
I disagree. The Tards of America could go all the way with that chick.
Wow.
That's great.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
That is great. And here we go. Rob in Delaware. Rob.
Yeah, hi, Donna Mike.
Yes, hi.
Hi, I listen to you guys talk about the American Idol on just about every week, and, you know, it's fine, I don't watch the show or whatever, but the straw that really broke the camel's back for me was when you decided to equate American Idol to a Jets Super Bowl win.
Hey, listen, I said it was not like the Jets Super Bowl win, I said, but as far as television goes, it was exciting. It was, you know, there's nothing that equates when the Jets won the Super Bowl. That's a big upset, a big thrill. But last night, you're watching a TV show where you think you know the outcome, where you're so positive you would have bet everything, and it is live. And then they throw you the biggest curveball of all time by saying, oh, yeah, incidentally, the most talented person is gone. Good night, everybody. And that's
wow.
The show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's emotion, dude.
Pretty amazing.
Okay. From the emotion standpoint, I do agree with you.
I'm glad that you agree I was right.
Yeah, but also, if you're not watching American Idol, then you might not understand that.
Well, I can understand the fact that you don't know what the outcome is because it is America voting and it's not, you know, the three judges.
Well, probably as far as American Idol goes, that's the biggest upset that's ever happened on America.
I
both
think
upsets.
So.
Going
it's
away.
It's the tard factor. It's the absolute tard factor.
The wild card. Now, when you say the tard factor, you think that this happened just because people are stupid?
Yes, because more people have been brought in, which brings the collective...
All right, the people that are brought
room
in...
Room temperature down.
The people that are brought in, why are they voting for Jasmine when it was obvious that she had a weak performance?
But because these are people... Now I'll give you my savvy media...
I mean, I know why I voted for
analysis. These are people who really don't watch American Idol, but maybe in the last 2 months, they said, God, all I do is read about this show. And like a guy like you, you don't watch it, but you hear us talk about it like a couple of faggots. So, you know, everybody's got to watch it. So now more people watch it. Well, now you got the people who don't really get that it's a talent show. They're like, watch it go. You know what's funny? What if we voted for the girl that everybody says is out? What if we vote for the girl who had the worst performance?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think our vote would really count? Well, give it a try. It's a free call. Go ahead. What the hell?
Plus the tears last week.
Yeah. So it's the tard factor. Yeah, and she's cute.
I think she's cute, and it's the sympathy factor. I think people saw the tears and went, you know, oh, that poor little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just going to vote for her. Isn't she the cutest thing? Isn't she just cute as a button? Clay Aiken probably voted for her.
Oh, isn't she just cute as a button? I just think that's so sad that the tears running down her face like that. I'm going to call and I'm going to vote for Jasmine.
However, I'll tell you this. It wasn't as, I would say, the Jets' victory. So many football games are great. I would say that the feeling I had last night was as good as when I watched. Do you remember the, you know, where are you calling from?
From Delaware.
From Delaware. Okay, so you're not, well, you wouldn't, in Buffalo, they can dig this. I remember that playoff game I was watching, the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, it was. The one that went for all the extra...
Right. Houston's winning, like, by 35 points, and they got the second-string quarterback in, that guy Frank Reich from Maryland. They come out of nowhere, and they win the game.
As yeah, they were down by halftime.
Right.
Back and long, yeah.
As exciting as that was, maybe last night's American Idol was a little more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I personally at least rather right watch, like, I'd rather watch the worst football game in the world than watch American Idol.
So would I, but, dude, where's the worst football game? Tell me what channel it's on, and I'll watch it.
We got a couple months to go.
Right.
Hey, you know what? And you know, I got a bone to pick with American Idol, okay? And the Fox Network. I mean, give me a break. Okay. You know, you're making billions of dollars. What are you? Yeah, I know. They're hawking T-shirts. You know, we have to wait and we go, hey, we'll be right back after that hawking T-shirt.
That's right.
You know, honest to God.
That's right.
I mean, Ryan. They didn't need to.
Ryan.
Where's your I voted for Fantasia T-shirt?
Ryan, here's what we have for you tonight. When you do the coming back from the second break, we'll have four precocious children, all of them politically correct. We'll have a Hispanic, a black, and two whites.
They're going to be down in the front row, and they're going to be wearing those new T-shirts that we're marketing.
The T-shirts that say I voted for Diana or for Fantasia. And what you do is you go down and you ask them, hi, who did you vote for? And they answer them. And then you say, go to the website to buy the merchandise.
We'll be making the T-shirts so that they're wearing available on the website. If you'd like to, just plug, please. Sorry, take that.
You know that happens.
What sizes and colors shall I put it down for?
Oh, my God. Hold on. Eric. Eric, Don and Mike, hello.
Don, Mike, buddy, listen. Hey. Headline news, Fox News early this morning. First thing said was, another storm hits American Idol, saying that it was a storm in the girl's hometown, and they couldn't use the phone systems last night.
Ah, well, you know, if that's
You know, this time of year, you especially in the Midwest.
Sure.
Where's she from? Where's LaToya from?
I think might she be from Chicago as well? I mean, that's where Jennifer Hudson was from.
That's from the last power outage.
And she got voted out.
I wonder where she's from. That's interesting.
Power outage. Neil. Who is this? Neil? No, Scott. Neil. Scott Neil. Scott.
This is Neil here.
Neil. Hi, Neil.
Yeah. This is the reason, the tard factor is the reason we closed the bars on election day in Kansas, because basically we'd all get liquored up and vote for Ralph Nader. I'd go the wrong direction.
Hey, Ralph Nader, if you've seen the latest poll, Ralph Nader's pulling 4%. And that 4% can decide an election. I mean, it's, you know, Ralph Nader is doing just what everybody's afraid of him doing.
That's why we want to keep him sober. It's like, hey, that'd be funny, wouldn't it?
Green Party candidate Ralph Nader. I'm your host, Joe Artinger. Yesterday, we can't see her. Grab a can of beer.
Toya London is from Oakland.
Oakland, California.
Well, I don't think, would they have that kind of weather out in Oakland? I don't think
they
so.
They could, but I don't know if they did.
Maybe it was a wind. Maybe it was one of those crazy storms they had out there.
Crazy.
Santa Ana thing. Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, that's Southern California, right? Not Northern California.
Not
hello.
Big state.
Hey. Harpo.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, hi, Harpo.
Hey, my wife's got a different viewpoint on this hard factor. She thinks that what's happening is everybody's watching the other reality shows, and they're thinking they got to vote the person off that they don't want on.
Well, you know, and again, you know, that might be true with people who are late to the party who don't realize you vote for the one that you want to keep on the show.
I don't know. That's
And I kept arguing with her that it can't be that way because Ryan keeps saying, here's the number to dial if you want her on.
Ryan.
So what can we look for? Like tonight on Survivor, when you vote for who's going to get the extra $1 million, is it going to be Jerry? You know, is she going to get the $1 million?
Yeah.
I mean, should I steal myself for that eventuality? Is that the way it's going to work?
If that was the case, I would bend down and kiss my television flat on the flat screen. I mean, lip on flat screen.
Hey, Jerry, who actually walked off the Survivor show?
Yeah. No way. No, you know, Rupert's winning that money tonight. Oh, and incidentally, Rob, did you talk to that lady who they told you to talk to about the...
Amazingly, she has not returned my call.
Right. You remember that one of these Infinity Monkey to Mucks promised us that Rupert would at least phone the show.
Yeah, he walked by the office yesterday and was kind of like, hi.
Said he would phone the show, and now that promise, yet another broken Infinity promise.
I know it's shocking. What happens is he shares a mutual friend with Rupert, And Rupert said he'd be glad to call in, but he doesn't want to violate anything with CBS. So he said, just get approval from CBS, which really just leaves us where we started.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know, Rupert will win the $1 million tonight on Survivor, and he'll call us in a month when, you know, we go, Rupert,
who? And I think, seriously, next week Jasmine will be voted off, and then I'm hoping for something very special. If it's Fantasia and Diana DeGarmo or DeGarmo,
right?
Pie-eating contest.
Well, then
Diana's your winner.
Or the pull my finger contest. Or the who looks more pregnant contest. Well, at least we don't have to see. I guess the question of Fantasia with the baby's daddy is solved. Since last night, again, we had another shot of Fantasia's boyfriend.
Yeah, but you don't know if he's the daddy.
Well, I'm going to assume, and you know, when you assume, you make an ass out of me, but I would
there might be another boyfriend in the past.
I would assume, and you know, as long as I'm being nitpicky about these girls, Fantasia's got, she's got a little bit of a roll on her.
Yeah. When she wears those jeans, and you can see me in the belly.
She wears the hip huggers, and she's got like this, that little inch or so of flab that hangs over.
Mm. Shouldn't they be trying a little harder on the costuming? Bad night for it.
And I don't think the contestants are necessarily to blame for that. I think there are people that do that.
Randy does that, doesn't he?
Randy Dog.
Randy Dog with those fingers. Hey,
all right. Listen, enough about this. We have other stuff to talk about. Stuff that's much more important than American Idol. A vital topic that was brought up on you're doing the Randy thing with your hands.
Yeah, I was doing that last night too. I do that every time I see him. You know, he does it all the time.
And you know, if I could mention this real quickly to all the brothers out there listening, how come none of you get a hold of Randy to tell him he's a bad parody of what a black guy is in our society today?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy is a respected musician. He's got a resume for producing records, for having an ear for records, for knowing how to arrange records. Yet all the guy ever says on the... He holds up his fingers the way Mike would, and everything is, yo, dog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even I know, and hello, I'm white, even I know, yo, dog. That's like... 2 years ago. Right?
He's got to make it a little more contemporary.
So, you know, brothers, come on. Here's your chance to represent. Here's your chance to represent. Now, I'm not saying you should have Dave Chappelle on that show. Although
why not?
Although he'd be fantastic.
Oh,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be great? You know, seriously, what that show could use?
If you had...
That show could use a Dave Chappelle.
Let's say you had... Dave Chappelle first, then Paula Abdul, who cares what she says, and then Simon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm really watching.
Oh, man, of course it could use a comedian.
But you couldn't get Dave Chappelle, Mike, and here's why. He's too funny.
Yeah.
He's too...
It would be too caustic, but man, it would be great.
He's too funny. Yeah. So you'd have to find some... And George Lopez is too much...
Gary Shandling.
Yeah, and Gary Shandling's lining up to do that gig. Just sit next to Paula Abdul.
I think, really, that's... You know, now that I think of this, I'm thinking out loud. That is what that show could use. You know, if you say... It's a great show. It's a popular show. How can you improve it? You improve it by putting somebody...
Hold on,
you put a comedian on.
I got the name because I think he's funny and his TV show stinks. You know Tracy Morgan?
Yeah. Tracy
Saturday
Morgan,
Night Live.
Funny guy.
Or else, you know who I put on that show? And I know now I'm...
You don't necessarily have to go with a brother. I just want to see a comedian.
Well, no, I was thinking brothers, but how about this?
Hey, you think I'm out of left field on this? How about this?
Yeah?
Mr. Tom Dreesen. Huh? I think it would work. He'd take the gig in a minute. You know, Frank's not around anymore.
You ever watch, if you've ever seen the...
And why does Letterman still have Tom Dreesen on?
Because Letterman still wants to make love to Johnny Carson.
Okay.
And that's his weird way of showing his homage to Johnny.
Okay.
Yeah, Johnny, you know late at night the phone rings.
Thanks for having Tom Dreesen on, has-been comedian. Where you want to go? Were you watching Johnny?
Tracy Morgan show. The little kid that plays his son or his nephew, whatever is on that show. That kid, I've seen that kid on talk shows. That kid is like an 8-year-old Chris Rock.
Oh, really?
Wow. He is funny as
I gotta watch that.
Funny as excrement. And really, if you put imagine that you put like an 8-year-old kid there, a kid with attitude, you know, who could just say to the Hawaiian girl, because he, you know. Coming from an 8-year-old,
yeah,
sitting there with his bling bling on, he goes, you know, baby, you suck. You know, you're the worst.
I think, really, you've got Paula, who's the balance. You've got Simon, who's rough. But even you don't have to necessarily put him down. You just have somebody that says funny stuff
right.
about him. You
right. know? Mike, right. funny stuff. Howie Mandel. Howie Mandel with his shaved head. Funnier than ever.
Hey, I would take any comedian, really, even a borderline comedian.
What if I said Bob Goldthwait?
Bob Goldthwait. I'd love to see Bob yeah. Gett. I'd love to see he'd Bob Gett on there.
What about Carrot Top?
No, I said a comedian.
Well, that's where we're going to have to agree to disagree.
So Carrot Top couldn't do it. Carrot Top isn't that kind of... Carrot Top is a prop comic.
Mike,
prop comics can't work without their props.
He could have a prop for every single...
God!
He could have his bag of tricks there. He could put his head through the toilet seat and say, this is where you're going to be sitting after tonight's show.
Yeah. Man, now I'm thinking I'm doing the comedy Rolodex, thinking of all the guys.
To go first class instead and get one of the Gallaghers.
Yeah, get the brother that's not on tour.
Either way, they smash the watermelon all over the person. Right? Mike, come on. Fred Travellina?
Oh, God. No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, no.
I'd rather have Randy there.
Tom Dreesen is okay, but Fred Travellina's not?
Tom Dreesen was a definitive joke. Tom Dreesen's not okay either. Tom Dreesen doesn't belong on television now.
Neither does Fred Travellina.
Right. And did you watch... Well, I know we're running out of time. But
we are.
Did you get a chance to see the Carol Burnett special at all last night?
I didn't. I liked it.
I did not. I liked it at the beginning and then hated it at the end.
I
thought it was a clip show. I thought we were going to see... I didn't think we were going to see only highlights of the last 2 minutes of the show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the Carol Burnett would come on the Carol Burnett Show, which I love. She'd come out at the end of the show, the very end of the show, and that's when she'd take audience questions.
But
I don't understand it yet, and she had the whole ensemble cast. I thought we were going to see clips of, you know, some of the great bits that they did on that show.
I like seeing them sitting around, you know, you can't beat those people sitting on their stools, you know, just talking.
Well, they're still funny. You know what?
Harvey Korman and Tim Conway are still
funny together.
They're very funny.
Yeah. But, I mean, what I wanted to see was really a flashback. Why? There had to be some money issue that they couldn't show the sketches. I don't know why that... Well, why didn't they show them?
They've done two clip shows already. They did Best Of, then they did, a couple of years ago, they did... Outtakes and bloopers, and this is just the third.
I stand corrected.
I like it.
All right, then I'm not mad anymore because I did think they were funny, and you know they were funnier. The clips were funny, but they were funnier with
they
their.
Were. And you know who else?
When he said, you know, it's something about he said, I can go to the bathroom by myself, and then Tim Conway said,
and he just did
it right now.
Yeah.
And Harvey Korman goes back, you couldn't be more correct. You know, that's funny stuff. Yeah.
And even that tool, Lyle Wagner, was funny.
Right.
I mean, asking him what he did before he was on the show, he said, I sold encyclopedias. He smiles at the camera. I sold a lot. he got laid a lot. And we've had Lyle Wagner on the show, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, a couple times. We had him when he was selling his male enhancement product and when he was customizing trailers.
Well, now I stand corrected on that because I was waiting for clips of I wanted to see the old man, which I love.
And talked before the show. I think last night was a valuable reminder to how pretty Carol Burnett was.
Oh, my God. I said to Rob, I said, especially in those early clips, you see really what a total she-male Carol Burnett was. I don't see how you could possibly, like back in 1969,
right?
Look at her, be a man, be a heterosexual man, look at her and go, baby.
And the history of that show, what was the reason that Vicki Lawrence was hired? Because she was a lookalike?
Yes, because she looked like
that
Carol.
That was the main reason.
Because she looked like Carol Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
That's just weird to me.
Yeah, well, she's lucky. She's lucky. She's cute, too, Mike.
It worked out well. And I did like Vicki Lawrence talking about Carol Burnett's driving.
Two cute girls.
She was doing the shtick on that. That was funny.
And meanwhile, I'm having to fight with my wife in bed with the remote thing. Because she wants to watch Law and Order. And normally, you know, I like Law and Order. But I said, come on. And I mentioned the thing about going to the bathroom with Harvey Korman and Tim Conway. I said, it's just funny stuff. We had to keep going back and forth and back and forth. So I don't know, on Law and Order, did the lady kill her kid or what?
I don't know.
I'm guessing she did, but sometimes on Law & Order, it ends with the bad guys winning.
Bad endings, Have you heard they've added a fourth one? A fourth Law & Order series.
Yeah, right. You know, it's fine with me.
Pretty soon TV will be like one half reality shows, one quarter Law & Order, and one quarter CSI.
That's
all it'll be.
Buzz,
and
according to Jim.
Well, that.
According to Jim,
There we go. Add Jim to the panel on American Idol. Now I'm watching more.
Now we're breaking.
This is the Don and Mike Show. are hanging on by a very thin thread. And I dig that about you. No contract? I help me. I help you. Help everybody. That's my man.
Hey, I'm happy to entertain you.
Help me. Help me.
She wasn't.
Sherry, come on, man. Hey, see, that's the difference between us. You think we're fighting, and I think we're finally talking.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting live from downtown Dumas, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. Question mark with a cereal.
Yesterday we had a discussion about... what were you doing, Buzz?
Singing along.
When he sang
too many teardrops.
Yes.
For one heart to carry on.
Buzz is doing like the Temptations, but
he was
mimicking the tears and then pounded on his heart.
I enjoyed
the
music.
What are you doing? Sniffing glue over there or what?
No.
All right.
It's Mike, here's what it is. You might remember at our other station.
Yes.
The late Alan Goodman. I mean, he's still alive. He's not late. I mean, he's alive.
But it's like when they leave our lives, they're dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went through what he called the seasons of a man's life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was when he went through his midlife crisis.
Yes. Right,
where he bought a sports car.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
he had the book called The Seasons of a Man's Life.
Mm-hmm. And one day
we knew he was wigged out.
One day we walked into his office for a meeting.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, this is our general manager. We got off the air about 10 o'clock. We go to his office at 10:30. He has a beret on. And he's
got an easel. He's got an easel in his office.
And he's painting. As we walk, he goes, Jim, have a seat. We sit down, and he just starts saying, isn't it a beautiful day? And we said, Al, what the hell's going on? And he said, guys, you're too young to understand, but here's the book, The Seasons of a Man's Life. And Mike and
he was painting to relax in his office, and he's a general manager at the radio station.
Mike and I are looking at him, and we're trying so hard not to laugh.
Yeah, because we're sitting there. What is wrong with this man? I mean, this is the guy who's, in whose office we hide pizza under the couch.
And I believe...
Which is what we did there.
I believe Buzz is now experiencing...
The seasons of a man's life.
Yes.
Isn't it a beautiful day?
And he's at the same season that Alan was at, which is like wigged out.
So, Buzz, let us know as soon as you need an easel.
Okay.
As soon as you want to start painting during the show.
I think we all should start painting. That'd be great. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Could you ever see yourself in any season of your life grabbing a... You have artistic ability.
Only when they put me in the loony bin.
The loony bin.
Only when I'm in the rubber room can I see myself doing that. No way.
Absolutely. I could work with clay.
Bacon?
No.
Okay. Yesterday on the show... Oh, you know what we should do, Rob? Try to find... I know Alan Goodman works at a station in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
Why don't you see if you can round him up? I mean, like in the next couple of minutes...
Wouldn't it be wonderful to talk to Big Al
and see if he can help Buzz through the seasons of his man's life?
Columbus, Ohio.
What, Buzzy?
I can get that book online, The Seasons of a Man's Life, for just $9.50.
What is it? Can you read us what it says about the book? Does it have like a click here for more information?
By Daniel J. Levinson, the first full report.
And now keep in mind, this is like 15 years ago.
Yeah, he loved that book. Patterns of Adult Development. It's a breakthrough study, ranks in significance with Kinsey's work. the stages of development through which all human beings must pass.
The seasons of a man's life. Seasons of a man's life.
Columbus, Ohio?
Think so.
Okay, should I call like the artist supply stores or?
No, actually, I think it's something like.
You're gonna write down the radio format? Station.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is it always?
Yeah. Right.
At 88.
Yeah. I think so.
You can find him.
He's the one guy that we've worked with in a management capacity. Mm-hmm. Who would see. At some function, we did a couple of years back, where we bumped into him at some NAB convention, National Association of Broadcasters, and we really did. It was really fun to see him. He is a fun guy.
I mean,
it's a love-hate, like it is with a lot of people, but we definitely
But now that we're done working for him, we love
him. And we realized, you know, when we had him, we didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, we didn't know how good we had
him. We had him. We should have just, wrapped our arms around his legs.
I'm eager to know how his midlife turned out.
Well,
I think he just got married to somebody else and was like making babies all the time.
Huh. He married the controller for the radio station.
And are they still married?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
And I think he squeezed out like three more.
I think really he's got three kids with her or something like that.
Wow. Yeah. Incredible. Well, Buzz, who knows? Anyway, that's Well, that's the seasons of a man's life. We'll get the update for you. Yesterday on the show, we had a discussion with my wife. And you'll be glad to know that last night we had a husband-wife conversation.
Okay.
I don't want to call it a confrontation, a conversation. And much like the stunning upset of the Jets over the Colts, much like the Bills coming back, much like American Idol last night.
And Jasmine lucking out.
I won.
You won.
No. I won. We sat down with this stuff about this Honda Element or whatever this is. The latest car of the week that
right.
We've got to have. And I just said, N-O, no. N-O, no. And I never
Did it
said,
go exactly that way where
no,
you said N-O,
not.
No?
No, I'm giving you the...
is she listening right now?
Yeah, she's on her way wherever she's, you know, on another Frida adventure.
Going right.
I just said no. And she, you know what she said? Okay.
Wow.
I said no, she said okay.
You're funny.
Well, Mike, I'm not going to bore everybody with...
No, but you're just funny, though. It's because really, maybe she is. Maybe she's still listening, or maybe she's out of range, but it's funny.
Oh, no, I know she's listening.
And I went in there, and I balled up my fist, and I said, and oh, no.
Well, I don't want to bore everybody with the
right.
details.
No, I know that I heard the details, too. It's just, when you tell me that
there's
the whole thing,
to it
I know.
Than that.
I know.
I mean, there was a lot of... politicking and
in a way you gave me the you know as you say the long boring explanation of it but it's funny it still is saying no but it's just funny the way you know and I said you know because you hear guys do that all the time
I know.
Aren't we all like that you know
yeah.
Hey and I told her
yeah
not over my dead body when in fact the conversation is probably a little bit different
yes.
You know
but it was but listen however the result was achieved
the fact is that she's not buying a new car
right because I don't want her to
right
and I'm fine with her hearing that and calling in, there will be no problem. We came to a mutual decision.
Good.
No car.
Well, there you go.
She said, okay.
Well, you made a pretty good case,
I thought. See, but I don't want to get into all that on.
I know. No, I mean, I know that.
But, yeah, I won the argument.
Because if you got into it, that would make her mad.
Yes, it would.
Right. Right.
Yes, it would. And if you would, please to be stopping.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know that I was going in territory you didn't want me to go to. I will shut up.
No, that's okay. Just
I will completely shut up.
Suffice it to say.
I kind of dug the story.
The underdog
it wasn't
won.
Boring to me. It was, it was interesting.
The underdog won last night.
Yes.
However, my wonderful family, and this is why I look at any opportunity to be right about something or to win an argument, why I got to feel like I'm the king of the world. I got home last night, and I got double-teamed. It was my wife, and it was my son, about this discussion. Once we got past, there's going to be no new car in our garage, we got to the discussion where she showed me the paperwork for this Honda Element.
Mm-hmm. It's about the oil changes?
Yes, 15,000 miles. And I say, you're nuts. You change the oil every 3,000 miles. This is the Bible I've lived with. I said, we had Pat Goss on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
My son, who has no place in these arguments, but he's sitting there, says, hey, Dad, let's go read the book from your car. And all of a sudden, I feel like they're teaming up on me. And I said, hey, there's no need for anybody to read the book in my car. I'm telling you, it's 3,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, why don't we read the book in your car? Because
you got everybody thinking oil.
Yeah.
I got in my car, and I got one of those little buttons where you can see the oil life left.
Me too.
25%.
Wow.
That's how much oil left.
Well,
now I would think if they're going in like quarters, you know, where it's 175, 50, 25, I might be
lower than
on my last
life. Well, my argument was that you had to change the oil every 3,000 miles. Hold on. Yes. Hi, Robbie.
A D and line 444.
Okay. Oh my God.
Wonderful.
I'll finish this up before we get Al on. Here's the deal. So I say to them, you are both out of your mind. I really overreact because I'm tired of coming home. And I don't mind arguing with one of you, but both of you are coming on after me.
I am the king of this castle.
So Bart goes out to the garage, goes in my car, gets the book, brings it inside. What does it say in the book? Are you ready for this? It says in my book, you can go up to 8,000 miles without changing the oil.
Okay.
And that there's a button you press in the car that tells you how much engine oil life you have left.
Yeah, I have that.
And as it turns out, I've got like 2,500 miles on the car, and it's only like 66% used. So you do the math in your head, and of course I'm wrong.
Right.
But the point is, when I come home from doing a radio show, even if I'm talking with my wife about mileage and oil
stuff
in a car.
Yeah, but Pat Goss backed up what you said. Pat Goss said it's much better if you do change it frequently.
It is better.
Yeah, but still, technically, I lost the argument because
you probably weren't in the mood to keep that going.
No, and I just got home and walked in the door and they're like, "Hey, you know, you don't have to change the oil every 3,000 miles." I said, "You guys, yes, you do."
At any point, did you just throw your arms up in the air and go, "Sorry, I've just been out there providing all day"?
Here is a Big Al.
You're not carried here in Columbus, Ohio, because I would have enjoyed hearing that esoteric, inconsequential conversation about your oil gauge.
Wow. Alan Goodman, our very first general manager.
Big Al, you boys do it.
We're doing great. We miss you. You know, and the more that we think about how good Wava was, would you not agree that we all maybe don't realize how good we had it back then?
Guys, I've been in the business 40 years, and it was the best experience, and second place is far, far away.
You know, we really were talking about it as far as the interaction between the staff. And everybody, like at any radio station, everybody had their little moments and their little altercations and all of it. But, man, when we look back in those days, we had the best time.
We had fun.
Single-handedly allowed the Palm Restaurant to survive.
We did. We would have parties for the ratings. We would have parties for party's sake. We would have parties for everything. It was nonstop. It was fantastic.
We had a party to plan the party. It was the best. And all the things you guys did with Good Morning Moscow and the whole thing with the Russian thing when Glasnost was happening.
That's true.
And all the important events that we got involved in, the times I suspended you, it was wonderful.
Yeah. Big Al really got it.
Call it Almost on the show when we all had stuff with Germany. Yeah, or Germany. Right.
Almost.
Almost. Right. Al, here's why we're calling. And Alan, how old are you now? I'm not busting your balls.
61.
61. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we worked with Alan, was the general manager and vice president of WAVA Power 105,
and I had a nickname for him. I called him PT Barnum because he was
really
showman.
I want to tell you, this guy, he did buy into the, you know, make it bigger than life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a different day. It was a different era. But
absolutely glorious.
You know, and we were doing Top 40 radio, but it was the type of thing Alan said, let's get a car. We don't want a piece of crap. Get a Porsche. They won't trade it out. Here's what he would say. Buy the car. Buy the car.
And there was a time, we tell stories about Alan all the time, but there was a time when we had one of those little glitches where the ratings went down.
Boom.
We were thrown off our bicycle. We did not know. We were really shocked. We were really down. Alan came to us, I think it was on a Thursday, and he said on a Thursday, he said, you know, the ratings were sitting there, how you doing, how we're doing, he said, you know what I'm going to do, I'm going to get a car, I'm going to get a limousine, we're going to go to Atlantic City, and we took a road trip, and by the time, we came back, we took that day Friday, we came back, we took the day off Friday, we went down there, by the time we came back Monday, we were rocking and rolling, it was fantastic.
You forgot one of the small facts that you guys got down there, and then you refused to talk to me once I provided the transportation.
you remember. Remember a lot of the details better than we do.
He's got a good memory, doesn't he?
But Al, I also remember we were in Minneapolis at a TV production studio cutting a commercial or something, and you're just laying on the floor trying to make reservations, plan reservations.
Right.
All I remember is Mrs. Goodman.
Alan. You know what? The thing I remember about it, we never traveled more with management than we did when Alan was there.
And
everywhere we went, Alan came along.
We
traveled together.
Am I allowed to tell the story about the time that the linebacker, Sam Huff, met you boys on the airplane?
Oh, we've told that one. Yeah, we've told that one before, Al, when he came up to us.
Where he put the arms around us and all that.
Those were wings.
But the best Alan Goodman story, this is the best one. Nothing will beat this one. Around the radio station, for weeks, it seemed like weeks, there were these signs, and all the signs said were MPFG.
No, it wasn't for. It was one day. We came in one day.
No, but the signs were around for like weeks beforehand, and they were put up in the hallways, and it was all this MPFG, and everybody, we didn't even know it. Nobody knew what MPFG was.
We went to the station one morning. It looked like somebody had broken in, and gangs had, you know, it was like gang warping. All over the
like
radio.
Graffiti style. MPFG. On paper, it was written down. It was
so
everywhere.
We got on the air, and we said, listen, looks like someone's terrorized the radio station. We don't know what MPFG means. And Goodman shows up at 6 o'clock in the morning and says, guys, MPFG, it's our new slogan. Make people.
No, no, that's not how it happened.
How did it happen?
What happened was it was weeks and weeks building up to this, and then we had to go to a meeting with the entire staff at a bar down in Georgetown.
I forgot.
He came out with girls in bikinis wearing a tuxedo, and he lifted up the sign that said, make people feel good.
But hold on. Didn't you have a magician that day, too?
He had a magician.
It was hilarious. You know what? I forgot the story. Oh, I also forgot what MPFG stood for.
Make people feel good. And everybody was trying to speculate what this deep concept was, what this new thing, and then it was like, make people feel good.
Hilarious.
Alan, if you had any idea, the schmucks that we work for now.
I can't comment about that, sir.
Alan, what is the format of the radio station you're running now?
We have an adult contemporary station, we have a smooth jazz station, and an oldies station.
Yuck. Are you involved at all? I mean, do you hang around on the air, or are you really a general manager now?
After the experience in Washington, it became very management-focused, and it's not as much fun as it used to be, but it's good.
Now, listen,
we're for a great company, by the way, Saga Communications, great company.
Well, let's see if they got some affiliates for us.
No, you know what? I'd love to. I think you were on one of them up in Portland.
Maine, right. Hey,
yes.
Al, here's why we're calling.
Okay.
Do you remember when you went through that phase when you read that book, The Seasons of a Man's Life?
Yes, I remember.
Do you remember that day Mike and I walked in your office and you were oil painting, you had your beret on? And you remember when you bought that sports car? Well, we think that our friend Buzz...
Our newsman, Buzz Burbank. Say hi to Alan, Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Alan. Nice to meet you, Alan.
He's
just turned 50, and we believe...
I don't have a sports car, I'm not painting, I don't have a beret, but I've been accused of midlife crisis, and I'm pleading no contest.
Well, then you should buy the book for about $14. It's a soft cover. Seasons of a Man's Life.
I can get it for $9, Alan.
Well, things have changed. The book is much older.
Yeah.
And it talks about the period of life between 40 and 50 years old. It's a great transitional book.
And how did you fare with that particular season change in your life?
It's none of your damn business.
Okay, well, I thought maybe you could give me some guidance.
Amen to that. Alan, listen, before we hang up, Sean Dell, who still works with us, wants to tell us, wants you to say hi. Wants to say hi to you.
Okay, so should I do it now?
Yeah, well, I just got to know.
She doesn't want to come in.
She just wants to say hi.
Hi, Sean Dell.
There you go. Everybody loves Big Al.
I miss you guys and think of you often.
And Alan, you know what we do too, and the more and more that we get mired up in this goddamn conglomerate radio, you know, we look back longingly on the days when we come in and do the show, and we had a general manager who was, you know, on one hand a pain in the ass, but on the other hand, you know, what a great, great guy, Alan.
And it was a very special time in the business, and it was a very special time in our lives, and they both met at the same time, and it was glorious. And
it was glorious. That's right, Alan.
Bye-bye, Michael. Bye, Bob.
Hello. Hey, Dee. Hello. Hello. And Alan.
Poor old Alan.
There he is.
Yeah, there we go.
You know,
I think he's gone.
Oh, did he hang up?
I think he's gone.
He said, bye-bye.
Wow.
There he goes. Bye-bye.
All right.
Very busy.
That guy was our general manager now almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, we love the guy. I mean, it was just fun. It was so much fun.
I guarantee
you. You want to talk about a character. It started the great tradition that we've had of making fun of GMs, and, you know, it just never has been the same. Because
he loved it.
He was, first of all, he loved it. But, I mean, this guy was a walking cartoon.
Yeah. And he loved it. It would be anything. If there was a problem, he would drive his car to the station, walk through the door at 7 in the morning, and wait till we're on the air and walk in the studio and go, wait, what's the problem?
He loved being on the radio.
Good morning.
Loved being on the radio, and he was funny, too.
And hold up. One more. This is the best one ever. We used to try to screw up his vacation.
That started another great tradition.
Uh-huh. One day, the radio station really was on fire.
Yeah, there was a fire.
So we call, he's in Bora Bora, wherever he's at. We call up the hotel. This one I remember perfectly.
Right.
We call the hotel. Alan Goodman, please. I'm sorry, he's not taking calls. This is Don and Mike, the Morning Zoo. The radio station's on fire. The girl says, he said you would say that.
We never got. Somebody like later in the day actually got through to him. Somebody that he believed, but there was no way we were getting through. And the best thing was, we knew he was going to say that. And the station really was on fire.
Wow. And, Robbie?
Just some of his other great ideas. Remember, he wanted you to broadcast from the Exxon Valdez.
He wanted you to broadcast from the North Pole on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. I don't remember any of that.
Well, how do you remember that, Rob?
Because we've got some treats coming up for Best Of. His last day on Wave, I've just been going through some tape.
Really?
Wow.
Rob is like scary fanatic.
No, not scary.
Because I know you and I love you. But if I didn't know and love you, I'd think you're scary.
Yeah.
that you like stalked our radio show when you were a kid. And you,
look where I am now.
You called
and... some old tapes, some pretty funny stuff about
him. Wow. So that's Alan Goodman. I guarantee you, 10 years from now, mm-hmm. you know, God willing, if we're still doing, we're not going to be having a show where we call up Ken Stevens.
No.
To say, man, do we remember those great times with you, jackass?
No way. One of a kind guy.
No.
I mean, and you know what? You do little things for people. I mean, it's almost like that's why years down the road we remember the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the times when we would get down, I mean, he would at least make an effort.
He was a motivator.
He was a fun guy. But also, he could get mad at people, too.
I'm sure.
Oh. That was great.
Laura Torres.
Where's the effing money?
Oh, God.
One time.
Dale fell down.
Dale Earnhardt broke out of
it. It was a girl. I know we told this before, but indulge us. Oh, a sales lady owed us money for a commercial
for weeks and weeks and weeks.
And Alan said, I'll call her in. And we're like, yeah, nothing's going to happen. And he said, just sit down, just watch.
And he put this little show on. It was a horrible moment.
So Mike and I are sitting in these chairs by his desk, and he calls this girl, Laura Torres, in, and she sits down, and he says, where's the money for the D&M commercial? Well, Alan, I don't know, the agency. And then he looks right at us. He's not even skilled. He looks at us like, are you ready, guys? And then, I mean, screaming, expletive.
I wanted to be in another state.
Wow. Pounding his fist on the desk. Where's the FDA money? And then she leaves and he's like, what did you think?
He did it for you.
We still didn't get the money.
No, we didn't, but we got a great show from Al.
Yeah, got a show.
And Buzz, his advice to you is worthwhile. Read the book.
Okay.
Read the book.
I'll get the book.
The Seasons of Man's Life. I'd be interested to see if there's anything in there that's relevant.
Yeah.
It did change his life.
True.
Man, let me tell you something. His life changed right after. You know, didn't all hell break loose after he read that book?
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Started with a beret, you know, ended up in like another state.
I don't see myself in a beret.
Don't forget that Celica that had that big crack in the dash.
Well, sure. He was kooky. And he had a twin, an evil twin.
David Goodman. His twin.
A real twin?
We went to his kid's bar mitzvah.
A real twin who was an absolute dead ringer for Al, who was short and bald with a beard, but absolutely one in a million until you would see his twin brother.
Right.
They're two in a million. And what is it that David told us that one time? He said that they got kicked out of a school one time because the teacher told their mom, the Goodman twins are a menace to society.
And they used to beat up a guy that's like a news reporter on the network now, Jeff Greenfield. Jeff Greenfield,
really?
They used to beat him up.
They did.
Yeah. And he's from Brooklyn. You know.
Hey, T.L. How are you? All right. I'm a good man.
So read the book, Buzz, but right after that, he had about 3 years where he was like incommunicado.
Okay.
Three years where he just kind of fell off the face of the earth, and then he did okay.
Yeah, he's alive. I promise not to fall off the face of the earth.
Very okay, good. Got a break. Oh, and listen, we need everybody's help when we come back. Here's the deal. This music, of course, can mean only one thing. We're going to be talking to the Watermelon Picasso.
Ooh, oh, really?
In just a moment. And we're going to be doing it like that. And here's where we offer you, our beloved listeners, the chance to call and be a part of this. When we get the Watermelon Picasso on the phone, we're talking like this. If we ask for phone calls and you call with questions for the Watermelon Picasso,
okay,
leaving a talk like that yourself,
you're
like Watermelon Picasso, Seedless.
Last time we had these kind of voices, we actually had the guy hang up.
Remember? We did. So we'll tone it down. The Watermelon Picasso. Just a little bit, and perhaps you guys can help us.
Fantastic, because we did say he'd take calls, right?
Yes, 877-365-3636. Not to be confused with the Pumpkin Picasso.
Pumpkin Picasso, fantastic guy, too.
Watermelon Picasso. That's why we're playing this lush, tropical music.
Don't spit out the seeds.
If you think you can do it, if you think you can do that awful DJ voice, you know, all you got to do is call. Just give the guy a nondescript question, right. But just a right. lot of that.
Absolutely.
We can all have fun with the watermelon Picasso.
Hallelujah.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ready to pick you up and shake you in a figure eight. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
All right, now, guys, if you want to play the watermelon Picasso interview with us, have a question ready. And don't forget, you got to talk like this. Elvis Costello, everybody.
Elvis Costello, fantastic guy. I really enjoy it.
Accents happened. 24 past the hour. How are you? Hi. Top 10 Iraqi prisoner pet peeves.
Yeah, go ahead. Fire away there.
The guards.
Harry.
The guards remind them of the power of the pyramid.
Oh, there. They have the reference to that pyramid. That's
fantastic. Hi, everybody. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer.
Here's another one of the top 10 Iraqi prisoner pet peeves. They don't get a penny for the naked Iraqi prisoners gone wild videos.
Oh, man. Lots more to come on the Hitler and Dahmer Show.
Let's start now by calling the watermelon Picasso. Guy's name is Hugh McMahon. And Mike, who doesn't like a good watermelon? Excuse me. Jeff, who doesn't like a good watermelon on a hot day?
I tell you, there's nothing quite like getting out to the old picnic table, carving into the big watermelon, and then having a good old-fashioned seed-spinning contest.
His name is Mr. Hugh McMillan. We're calling him right now. I'm Harry Hitler.
It's Hugh McMahon, and I'm Jeff Dahmer. And we're looking forward to talking about how he... I guess he carves intricate patterns and portraits in the melon.
Huh. Oops, hold on a second. 171.
Very exciting, I'm sure it's a...
Quite an intricate and delicate process. And Miles, really as soon as he picks up the phone, you give us the introduction.
All right.
New callers.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's the Two for the Road Show with your hosts, Harry Hitler and Jeff Dahmer. Now, here's Harry and Jeff.
Hey, thank you, Ted. And I'm Harry Hitler.
I'm Jeff Dahmer. Welcome to the Hitler Dahmer Show to get together for a fabulous Thursday.
Hey, looking down to your weekend. 26 past the hour, we'll have traffic and weather together coming up. When I say watermelon, what do y'all think, Jeff? Jeff, what do y'all think?
When you say watermelon, I'll tell you, I think summertime. I think delicious. I think the wonderful, delicious fruit that we all enjoy at picnics. I certainly don't think about artwork.
And I'll tell you something else. I believe Atkins-friendly, almost watermelon.
Is the watermelon a low-carb fruit?
The name watermelon would indicate... primarily H2O base.
Oh, that's right. Primarily water. Well, we got a guy that's an artist and carved things into the side of them.
Hugh?
Yes, how are you doing?
Hugh, you carve watermelons?
How long have you been carving for, Hugh?
A long time, over 25 years.
Wow. Hugh, you know, we
as well.
We love crafts here on the Harry and Jeff Show. Could you tell me something? If I was to ask you, could you make a watermelon look like my favorite TV star, Mr. Ryan Seacrest?
Yes, I could.
That would be beautiful.
So what you're saying, Hugh, is that you've actually done portraits?
Yep, yes, I do portraits all the time.
And how long does it take to do a portrait on the side of a watermelon?
It takes maybe a couple hours, depending.
Do you use seedless watermelons or regular ones?
I use both.
Do you enjoy eating the watermelons while you're carving them?
I do, but I don't eat that much. I find it too sweet.
It's 28 past of the hour. Bing Bong traffic weather together. Coming up here on Westwood One. Happy Thursday to you. Sure, happy. It's Thursday. This is Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer, and we're speaking with the watermelon Picasso. The guy's name is Hugh McMahon.
Now, our phones are open at 1-800. Hey, America, what's on your mind? Give us a call. That's the phone number. 1-800. Hey, America, what's on your mind? Give us a call.
Hugh, I've got to ask you a question here. Why Mellon?
Well, it's that it gives me something to do when I'm not carving pumpkins.
Oh, you carve pumpkins? Because there was one time on the show, if my memory serves me.
We had the pumpkin.
Picasso.
Picasso.
That's right, the pumpkin Picasso.
I do remember you. Yes, I think that was me.
You're the pumpkin Picasso?
David, hold on.
It's a reunion.
Hold on. You're the same guy? So you are not only the Picasso of pumpkins, but the Picasso of watermelons. Where do your talents end, Mr. Cuban Van?
at Gord's.
At Gord's. Speaking of Gord's, let me remind everybody that this weekend it's our fabulous Cicada-tacular. That's going to be coming up Saturday. We're all going to have lots of fun with the crazy red-eyed insects.
And Joe Arninger, don't forget, for those who served, the feature's called Nam Jams.
Nam Jams.
Some of your favorite songs from the Vietnam era. Mm-hmm. No psychedelia, just good solid Nam Jams. Of course, that's with Sergeant Joe and his Howling Commandos later tonight on Westwood One. We're talking to Mr. Hugh McMahon.
You're not a doctor. You haven't earned a doctorate or treated anybody for any medical disorders, have you, Hugh?
Yes.
Not yet.
Hugh, how would you feel about taking some calls? Hugh?
Yes.
How would you feel about taking some blister calls?
I'll do it.
Call us at 1-800-HEY-AMERICA. What's on your mind?
Your chance, America, to talk with the watermelon Picasso, who we just found out if you just tuned in, is also the pumpkin Picasso.
It's reunion time. Hi, everybody. This is Harry Hitler.
I'm Jeff Dahmer. We're having some fun today. Always great to have guests back on the show.
4:30 Gurney time. Chime. We'll have traffic weather coming up on the 12th here. Greg, you're on with Harry and Jeff and Mr. McMahon. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Harry. How you doing? Well, I had a question. Does it increase the value of the watermelon if I eat it afterwards?
You can. See, when I carve a watermelon, I scoop it out.
Let's try another one of our colors.
And so the shell is hollow, so you could eat the remains of it.
Oh, that's delightful. You put it in a nice fruit salad.
But when you let it sit for a day or two, you don't want to eat it because it could be rotten.
Andy.
How's it going?
Hey, welcome to the show, Andy. Welcome to the show.
You. How you doing there?
Okay.
Question. What's the... Great. How size of the water bill? Does that come into play? Like, say, a big watermelon. I wish I had a big watermelon.
Well, I generally tried to get the biggest size, but I was down in Hope, Arkansas, carving watermelons, and they can grow as big as 250 pounds down there.
That is good.
And when I was down there, I did a portrait of Clinton during the Clinton.
During the Clinton administration, I'd like to point out that Ma Dahmer makes a wonderful melon medley.
And, Grandma Hitler has, not that I advocate this, but something called a watermelon shooter.
I've heard of those. They could be mighty trouble.
I had one of these drinks last 4th of July. I don't know. The next thing you know, I'm in the middle of the street eating a good human bar, wearing nothing but my boxers.
Well, of course, I thought all you did was enjoy an occasional non-alcoholic brew.
Hello. It's the Truth in the Road Show. Hi, everyone. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. And we're talking with the watermelon Picasso, formerly the pumpkin Picasso. The man's name is Hugh McMahon.
32 after the hour. You got to be somewhere about 5. You got 28 to get there. Heroes. David. David, you're on with Jeff and with Harry.
Good day, guys. I had a question for the pumpkin watermelon guy. When he carves,
Does he carve non-blue? Do you carve non-blue? Do you do X-rated pornographic watermelons?
Yes, I have.
Slow down.
For shame.
Not a chance.
We're not advocating that, please.
We work non-blue.
We work non-blue.
For Playboy magazine. For Playboy TV.
No, there's not a chance we want to talk or go down that highway. That's a slippery slope, Mr. McMahon.
Let's go to Bob. Bob, hi. You're with Harry Hitler, Jeff Dahmer, and Mr. Hugh McMahon. Hello.
Harry and Jeff, good to talk to you. Hugh, I'm calling out here from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Hey, can I tell you something? No more delightful place. And how about that Napa? That wild.
Boy, I tell you, you're really on an alcoholic kick here. You haven't fallen off that wagon permanently, have you there, Harry?
I'd rather not comment about that right now.
Hugh, you ever carved something inside of a grape, Hugh?
Have you ever carved a grape, Hugh?
A grape?
A grape.
No, I peeled a grape, but I haven't carved one.
Peeling a grape can be fun business. Mrs. Dahmer's done that for me a couple of times. Makes me feel like the king of Siam, it does.
I don't want to work. No blue.
No blue.
If I fail when Frida Hitler peels that for me,
yeah,
that's a special treat.
I bet it is.
That's a special treat in the boudoir. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could have another one of those watermelon shooters.
Hello, those are dangerous.
Fantastic.
Alcohol's bad. I want to say that.
It is.
You're hearing it from me, kids. I'm no role model. I'm simply Harry Hitler, part of the Two for the Road show. Alcohol's bad. Right, Jeff?
I'm Jeff Dahmer. I'm here to back that up 1,000% of Rooney.
Hey, how's the bumper-to-bumper in your area, huh? Don't forget, Miss Joan Lana's up at the beautiful H&J Trafficopter. We'll have the latest bumper-to-bumper for you in a minute.
Fantastic.
On with the watermelon Picasso, formerly known as the Pumpkin Picasso. Troy, welcome to the show. Troy, open wide. Say hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Troy.
How you doing, Troy? You got a question for our guest, the watermelon Picasso, otherwise known as Mr. Hugh McMahon?
Yes, I just like to know, I'm quite the watermelon aficionado, and I'd like to know if the Doopamoon has ever done a Fabergé egg.
Have you ever done a Fabergé egg?
Something like that. I did an Easter egg.
It
kind of looked like a Fabergé
egg. There's a heck of a difference between an Easter egg and a Fabergé egg, if I know my expensive baubles.
Here comes Peter Cocktail hopping down the bunny trail.
Oh, I tell you, it's always nice to celebrate the major holidays. You're talking about our fabulous Big Harry and Jeff Eggtacular that we had. Man, that was big fun.
8:35, excuse me, 4:35. Gosh, what's wrong with me? I'm thinking ahead to tonight, get back, watching that Great Survivor show.
Oh, it's going to be mighty exciting. They're giving away another $1,000 tonight.
They are, and I'm hoping that the girl that I liked all along, and I don't watch these shows.
Sure, I know.
I'm voting for, and I want to make sure the name is Amorosa tonight. And I think she's going to get $1,000,000.
Hope she does. She's your favorite.
That's my opinion. Hey, everybody, it's Two for the Road. I'm Harry Hitler.
And I'm Jeff Dahmer. I just hope they don't eat bugs again.
Let's go to... for the Pumpkin Picasso, how about Steve Arido? Hey, leave it to Steve or Steve.
Hi.
Hi, and welcome to the show, Steve.
Hi, I had a question for Hugh.
Yeah, go ahead, you're on with Hugh.
Hugh, have you ever carved a watermelon pie?
A watermelon pie?
Have you ever?
Hugh?
No, I've never carved a watermelon pie.
Oh, that's too bad.
But I've worked for Libby's Pumpkin Pie. But never carved a watermelon.
When it says Libby's on a label.
You like it yeah. On your table. Hugh, potatoes truly vary in size from a new potato to a mighty russet. What say you?
I'm confused.
Alrighty. No problem at all.
Here's Darren. Hey, Darren, you're on with HH and JD.
They can take a look at my work at ChelseaMarket.com.
ChelseaMarket.com. That's where some of your work's on display.
Is that on the www.algor internet?
That's the one.
I'm not into that. You know that. I don't pay attention to that.
Hey, we've got a website, though. Let me tell you, if you're...
Too much crazy technology nowadays.
If you're a fan of this show, you can go to the site. www.scatlov.com.
That's a fantastic website. You get all the information on the Harry and Jeff get-together.
Hey, Darren. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Darren?
Hello.
Yeah, Darren, you got a question for the watermelon Picasso?
Oh, this is Dan, but good enough. I had a question.
Oh,
man, that's a shame.
We lost that caller. Let's try.
Yes, his cell phone must have gone into one of those bad areas.
Mm-hmm. Let's try David, or is it Davey, or is it Dave? Which is a Dave? Hi, this is Harry Hitler and Jeff Dahmer.
Greetings, salutations, gentlemen. I was wondering what your inspiration was
for your first work with the fruits and vegetables?
That is an outstanding question. And I want to tell you, though, you are going to get a pound of Himmler Daimler coffee.
Oh, that's the best. It's only the finest Colombian beans.
Don't forget that's available at Super America throughout America. Now the Bubba the Love Sponge merchandise is out. Look for the Harry Himmler Jeff Dahmer merchandise, Super America, coast to coast. You're going to get some of the coffee. Good, good question. Hey, Pumpkin Picasso, watermelon Picasso, what's the answer?
I would say it's the pumpkin and watermelon itself.
You know, and I would venture to say that nothing better than some Harry and Jeff coffee with a big slice of watermelon, because it goes pretty good with anything I eat, if I do say so myself.
Yum, yum, and Greg. Hey, Greg.
Harry, Jeff, is it me?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's one of those guys.
Well, sounds like a crank caller.
I hear his voice on the radio.
I don't care for that stuff.
Let's try one more.
None of that tomfoolery and hijinks.
Hello, Joseph. Joey, Joe, hi. Harry Himmler, Jeff Dahmer, Al Bell. 39 past the hour. Used to be a man, now a woman. Which member of the Westwood One staff is it? Find out tonight after midnight with Alex Jimenez.
Very exciting new program right here on our radio
Spotlight
station.
Spotlight on Mexico.
Yeah, hello, caller. You're on with Hugh McMahon. Joe.
Hey, Harry and Jeff. I have a question there for you. hey, Hugh. Is it possible to lacquer up one of those watermelons so you can have it last forever?
No, you can't do that because it has too much water in it.
Oh, you can't put any lacquer on it? It's a valid question.
Yeah, oh, really? I've even tried to freeze dry it. So you would sap the water out and try to make it work, but it falls apart.
How about a ham, Hugh? Would you ever carve a ham?
I've carved a ham to eat, not to without a face in it.
Okay. You're crazy. I'm going to tell you something.
He's
crazy.
A kookala.
You're not. He used to be known. Everybody is the
pumpkin Picasso.
Watermelon Picasso. I'll tell you one thing. When I have a lot watermelon in the summer, I find I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the water-based product that you have there, and you don't want to eat too much. You know, Don, I've always said, excuse me, Harry.
Yes, Jeff.
I've always said that too much of a good thing. You don't want to enjoy too much of a good thing, and I guess that speaks to this guest included right now.
It's now 20 before the hour. Until next time, we want to thank you for spending your time together. Don't forget, our time is so, so, so important. So until next time, let me say, I hope all your times are good, good times. What's that web address again, sir?
ChelseaMarket.com.
You better. And hold on just a moment, please. Ted, get us out of here.
You've been listening to the Two for the Road show with your hosts, Harry Himmler and Jeff Dahmer. Brought to you by Leonard Maltin's Little Rascals on DVD and VHS. Join Harry and Jeff next time here on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Thanks, Ted Bundy. Hold on a second there. When we come back, Reverend Joe Hardinger, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's see.
Let's see what he's talking.
And you guys, before you ask him, Rob, I want to say, for the most part, the people on the phones, you were great.
Very solid.
Yeah. You were great with the...
I think if we did another half hour of that, we'd probably have guns in people's mouths.
All right, give him a...
Well, he's been there before.
Did you enjoy yourself? How do you think it went? We'll call you around Halloween time. We'll talk pumpkin. Awesome. All my best. Bye, then.
There we go. Rob, I think he knows the drill, doesn't he? I mean, I think he just wants to get that website on the air.
I don't think we've had him on before.
Really?
Pumpkin Picasso is a different guy.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
But, what did he say?
He said it went well. And looking forward to our call in October.
Hey, as long as he's taken, we're given.
I should have asked him about a kumquat.
Oh, hey. Nom Blue.
We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Crazy here.
You're crazy.
This hobby is so gone crazy.
So something wacky this way comes. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, today what are we giving away? We're giving away a TIAC Retro Stereo.
Cool.
Courtesy of Fox TV's That 70s Show. That 70s Show, the 1 hour season finale, it's next Wednesday on Fox. Plus, we're going to be giving away another WWE SmackDown Judgment Day prize pack featuring The Undertaker. Watch SmackDown on UPN 20 at 8 o'clock at 7 o'clock Central Time.
Is that the SmackDown season finale?
Just
kidding.
I know, but you know, in this day and age, I don't know. It might They could have a soap opera ending on SmackDown.
Sure. Except I just think there's so many season finales. It's pretty amazing.
I think SmackDown is evergreen, though. I think there's no downtime on SmackDown.
Never SmackDown stops. Is NASCAR.
No, but remember, NASCAR is not year-round.
Well, it's Easter and Mother's Day.
But it also takes like from September until January off.
It does?
Yeah, there's like October to... It's only like 9 months out of the year with NASCAR. But WWE is always. And we're giving away a trip to WWE SummerSlam in Toronto, August 15th, courtesy of UPN. Later today on the show, I'll tell you exactly how we'll be giving away both of these prizes. There was something on Broadway that came to local stages called the Vagina Monologue,
right?
And we did those for a while on the show with women talking about what that part of their body might say.
Right.
And then we moved it to the men and what the men's part of the body might say.
Right.
And now with the FCC and everything.
Right.
Well, today it'll be the armpit monologues.
What your armpit might say?
What would your armpit say if your armpit could talk?
All right. Well, I mean, wouldn't it have to be a specific story about an armpit?
Well, it's...
Like somebody who's maybe lost an arm?
But, Mike, remember, in the spirit of the vagina monologues, it's what the armpit itself would say. If, for instance, if you lost the armpit would say, hey, I'm Mike's armpit, and...
I used to be a pit, and now I'm kind of out there for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm. And it could be a Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a celebrity pit.
Well, you mean we have the names, right?
We have names.
Brad Pitt.
And it's like that's the first and last name on a celebrity list is Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
Anyway, don't call him now.
No.
But we'll do the armpit monologues later. We spent a lot of time earlier today talking about American Idol, and Mike thinks... Do you still think it's an outrage?
Yes. I had to work that out.
I am outraged. I think it's funny.
I can work it up. Let me see if I can get it.
Where were you 2 hours ago?
What do you mean?
When we started the show. I mean, emotionally.
Emotionally, I was...
On American Idol.
Emotionally, I was where I am whenever we start the show. I'm reacting to things that have happened up until that time. Then as the show progresses...
Yes.
A blanket of calm and reassurance...
Inside the actor's mind.
It just falls down upon me, and I feel warm and fuzzy.
This is the dead Alan King.
I'm very, very comfortable, and I feel just safe and good. But when this show started, I was filled with a rage about what happened last night on American Idol that I just wanted to lash out. And now that you've brought it up again, I am outraged at the injustice done to LaToya on American Idol. She's gone,
okay,
and Jasmine stays.
I thought it was great. I like the fact that the show is so screwed up.
Right.
But even before last night's, and I use the word for you, Mike, tragedy.
It was a tragedy.
I want you to know that the Star tabloid has a story. And, you know, more and more, the Star, the Globe, the Inquirer, they're real. Now, I don't know.
Well, you're right. I mean, they actually have been sued so much that they have to source their stories in a more responsible way. But they still, you know, if you go deep into those, but if you got the cover of the Inquirer or the Star or the Globe and you took like two of the headlines, you'd probably have a few in there that were a little hinky.
Have you seen the Star, the new revamped Star?
Yeah.
It's no longer a bloid. It
right.
looks like people.
It's a glossy magazine.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, the ads are saying, get it right next to People magazine.
Oh, so they're trying to do that now.
Yeah, but they still got all the psychic ads in the back. You can still become a minister for $5.
Yay! Oh, this is from the Star. During dinner, this was after last week's show, Randy Jackson is out with Simon Cowell, and they're having dinner. And Simon says, quote, the show is so played out, I can't wait for it to end.
Ooh.
There can't be another year of this. The talent is awful, and the general public's choices are even worse.
He's right.
Yeah. Randy, and this is why I believe this, the Star says, Randy, by the way, responded, quote, you got that right, dog.
Yeah.
Now,
couldn't make that up.
It's possible.
They wouldn't fake that. That would be a real Randy.
That would be
quote.
Randy.
No,
yeah.
But the thing is, how do you know that guy?
Well, are you being serious that you think that would be a quote from Randy?
Yes.
If you were going to write a quote from Randy, you would say you got that right, dog.
I've seen him interviewed enough
right.
on non-American Idol stuff, like on Good Day LA or on Entertainment Tonight. Every other word with this guy is, it's great being on the show, dog.
So they have an anonymous source that overheard them at dinner?
No, again, it's not. Well, Mike, hold on. Let me find out. They got the manager at the restaurant. What's the guy's name?
Ah, well.
Bill F.A. almost looks like fart. F-A-R-T-E-L.
Fart said that. Right?
He's the guy. Anyway, you heard it here.
Well, they've got a source so that when they do that. Remember the ones that, wasn't it about Rosie O'Donnell when we first were starting to find credibility in these tabloid stories because we called them the restaurant manager?
Right. And
but I think dog is
oh
what
God.
That makes
Hold
me
on.
Suspicious.
I'm having the big one.
You all right? You all right?
Oh, look at that, a tooth. A tooth just
Another
came
one.
Out.
Lovely.
Blood?
No blood, just the tooth.
Oh, my.
Okay, didn't do that, you know.
You think it's all right? I'm down to 28.
Close enough.
Down to 28 teeth. Oh, hey, Robbie, I need the CBS music.
Oh, okay.
That's better than Randy.
This is something for 28 teeth.
I think Randy's missing a tooth. I think one week I saw him when he had a big, big smile, and it looked like on the right side he had a big gap. He was missing a tooth.
This is something I got off CBS.com.
Huh.
Yeah, CBSSportsLine.com.
Ah.
It's where we do our fantasy football stuff.
Right.
And they were sending emails. Have you guys gotten the emails from CBS SportsLine asking you if you want to re-up in our league again?
Not yet, no.
This
no.
year? Well, I got one, and so there's this thing about Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders has been dropped from the NFL today.
Why?
This is this was on CBS.com. They just mentioned it on Sportsline.
Uh-huh.
So I do a little more searching, and it turns out it's about money. Now, guess how much Deion Sanders made a year for being on that show, where you work one day a week?
I have no idea, but would it be... Obviously, would it be a million-dollar deal?
Yeah, he made $1 million a year.
Wow.
Wanted $2 million. $2 million for Deion. For the show that gets...
A 100% pay increase.
For the show that gets killed in the ratings by the boys on Fox. Mm. So, CBS, you know, our company...
Right.
...said, hey, Deion, here's $1.3 million. Mm. Deion said... Where's my fur coat? Where's my gigantic Dick Tracy hat?
Right.
I'm out of here.
Wow.
So, now, are you ready for a Dynamite playlist? This is the CBS NFL music. Can you imagine what happens when Jim Nance finds out he's going to lose Deion Sanders?
No. That's all we got, guys. I'm really nervous about that, I'll tell you right now.
Because then he's stuck with
not going to happen without Deion.
Boomer Esiason and Dan Marino.
I mean, those bookends, those are the bookend morons. I can't do it. It's going to be terrible.
Hello, friends.
I've got to call my radio buddies, Don and Mike, find out if we can get Deion back on the show.
Well, why don't you just call Deion himself?
Okay, let's do that. Hello, is Deion Sanders there?
Oh, make the call first.
Yes, okay, here we go. Thank you. It's ringing. Let's see if Deion picks it up. Calling Deion's house.
Sandal residence.
Yes, may I speak to Deion, Neon Deion Sanders, primetime. Is he in?
It's am Deion. Who am this?
This is Jim Nance, your television buddy, Deion.
What do you want, Whitey?
I want to tell you how much it's been a pleasure having you on the show and what you add to the broadcast and just how needy we are this year. And we're hoping that I can say something to you to get you to come back. Yeah, so classy. Let's do it again, amigo. What do you think?
You know that about four times on the show last year, I seriously thought about just taking you out.
Oh, Deion, I'm sorry to hear that. I know that you're a dedicated professional. You've added so much. You're so incredibly colorful, and I certainly hope that you can join our CBS family. And I feel as strongly about you as I do the Azalea Line Airways of the Augusta National Golf Club.
Jim, am we homeboys?
Of course. You know that, dog.
Then tell me something right now, Mr. Nances. Am you afraid of me?
Our friendship is based on my fear of you. That's normally the way it works, Deion. Yes, I'm terrified of you.
And you listen to me right now.
Because being as tragically white as I am, you know the answer to that.
Here's what I want you to do.
Yes, Deion, anything to get you back on the broadcast.
I'll tell you, I've talked to all my good friends, and, you know, we need you, Dion. You're a good guy. I'd like to take you to a wonderful screening in my home of the movie Radio, starring Cuba Gooding Jr. It's fantastic.
That movie I'm about, a retarded black man with goofy toothy.
Well, it was about a man of color. You're absolutely right, Dion, but I thought we could bond over that.
Off,
I'm sorry, I don't mean
you're
to...
You're pissing me off.
I don't mean to be making you angry.
Hold on, my other line I'm ringing. Give me a moment.
Certainly, Dion.
Stay right there, Jim.
I'm standing by, willing to do anything for you. Back rubs, anything.
Dion Sanders here. What? Hello there. It am my good friend from Fox Broadcasting, James Brown.
Ah, JB.
JB, how are you?
Now, please, don't talk to him. I need to talk to you, Dion.
I know. Oh, trust me, I know. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll tell him. Yes, sir. You the man. So who the man?
He's talking to the enemy.
You the man, Jim.
Or the enemy, yeah. Whichever the case.
You the man.
The enemy. I'm
nervous, Jim.
Just a little bit.
I'm wearing them right now.
You picked up on that, huh?
Right, rightly so.
How about a visit with me to Story Butler Cabin?
I'm wearing them right now. I'll tell him.
Dion, stop talking to him. You're making me nervous.
Dion out.
Dion, what were you talking to the enemy for? Fox News is not where you want to go. You don't want to go to the Fox NFL Sunday show.
Let me explain something to you, Jim.
It's the NFL on CBS, Dion. That's where you belong. Let's go shopping. I'll buy you a new Dion Thomble.
The way it is right now, I'm the only man of color on your show.
That's true. I got
over at Fox, they got a brother who is the leader of the show, and Fox will pay me $2 million, Jimmy.
Well, Dion, I can't do anything about the money, but I'll tell you right now that if you come back to our CBS family and you do the broadcast with me each and every day during the NFL season, I'll warmly caress your glutes.
Hey, Jim.
Yes. Yes, Neon.
I don't want to have to out you as a homo.
Oh, please don't. You know, that's our deep, dark secret. You understand that. I'll tell you right now, you know I love pretty things.
You love my clothes, don't you?
I love those pretty clothes. I love putting them on. When no one's looking. But, of course, when the CBS eye is on me, it's standard blue blazers and gray flannels.
And, Jim?
Yes, yes, Neon.
I'll tell you something else. I choke you out. You MFA?
I'd let you do that for the Three Amigos Foundation. Thanks so much, Dion.
You mean your fake charity organization that those good broadcasters, Dons and Mikes, have given thousands and thousands of dollars to over the years?
Well, you know, making my regular salary, Neon, that I've made over the last 20 years at CBS of $485 a week, that's the only way that I'm able to make real money. And I go down to my hometown, a place I love, Houston, Texas.
Toilet bowl, Houston, Texas. That am I. Just a walking, talking toilet bowl.
I'll tell you, the studio is going to miss your manly, musky aroma, Dion. I'm sorry to see you go, but I wish I could come up with the money myself. But unfortunately, I'm cheap.
I know the plan at CBS.
Yes.
All white for 04.
Well, that's true. We're trying already to line up Peyton Manning for when he retires to get him back in the studio. Should be wonderful with Boomer and Dan and Peyton and me. It's the all Lily White show. Sorry they couldn't pop for the extra million, Dion. How about me, you, and Freddie Couples in a steam room? Let's have some fun.
And where am that big fur coat that I loaned you last year?
Well, I gave it to my wife, Dion. And, you know, she thinks it's lovely.
And what about
she took it to the premiere of Radio.
What about... I said there's a movie with a retard with goofy poopy.
I understand that. We're going to go see it. You got to see it. I've got several copies. I'll send you one.
What about that man bag I gave you, that purse I gave you?
Oh, that's wonderful, too. I gave it to my wife there also. She loves it. I tell you, I've outfitted my wife with all the gifts you've given me.
What about
your
bling
fur coat, your diamonds?
The bling bling I gave you.
Well, right now I'm wearing your gold rope chain right underneath my handsome button down.
Are you still my bitch, Jim?
I will always be your bitch, Dion. You know, I've got a lot of friends in this business, but by and large, with what you've done for me, you will always be my main guy, homie. And I'm your bitch.
All right, James. Dion out.
Oh, come on now. Come back to the network of Carol Burnett. Let's get busy with it, my homeboy.
I seen that Dick Van Dyke show the other night. I could not suck bad enough.
Dion, what if I change some of the formatics? I'm trying this out for this year. At the end of the NFL today, I'm going to say, Nance out. Do you like it?
How about if I punch you out?
Oh, man. For the Three Amigos Foundation, you can knock all my teeth out, Dion. You have a great day.
You mean your bogus charity?
Please come back.
How come Don and Mike have paid you thousands of dollars, and you don't even come on their show?
Dion, please come back. I'll rap freestyle with you. I love you, Dion.
You're my bitch.
My tears will not stop flowing.
And I know what you were doing in Butler Cabin. There's a reason they call it Butler Cabin.
Please don't reveal that story. Yes, I was putting on my mascara.
You and Lanny.
Lanny Watkins.
Lady Lanny.
Lady Lanny is a lovely, lovely woman.
I got no time for you, white devil.
I'll drive you anywhere in my minivan.
I'll drive you anywhere in my golf cart, MFO.
All right, you take care, Dion. I wish you nothing but the best of luck.
I wish you a quick and painful death.
That's Neon Dion, everyone. Thanks so much. Jim Nance.
Good old friend of mine, dude.
You take care. What an incredible, moving day it was. And I'd like to say hi to everybody in our CBS family that may be having surgery. If you're having surgery or near death, I know that I'll use that at least one time in every broadcast.
You know he does. He does when, like, there's a slow moment on the 17th. They're waiting for Tiger Woods to putt.
Right.
This would be a good time. And you actually hear this.
This would be a good time to...
I know George Costanza, who's worked for CBS family 35 years.
And he does that. And then he goes on, and it's like, we want to wish him and his family the very, very best. Stay tuned. Not even Nostradamus could predict this.
Oh, God, this Frasier stuff tonight. He is out of control.
Yeah.
Always. Kelsey Grammer.
He believes it all. Everything written, he believes it.
There's all this talk that he's been on TV for 20 years, right. And that he's been on longer than the guy on Gunsmoke, mm-hmm. And that tonight is going to be the night to end all nights, and the cast is coming out and doing all these shows. And I've been holding on to this for a couple of days. You got to listen to these quotes. Now, these are not from the Enquirer. This is from the Daily News, where they did a front-page article with Kelsey Grammer earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. TV's favorite shrink says his biggest success was healing himself. We've had a great run, says Kelsey Grammer. Get ready to puke, everybody.
Oh, no.
Earned 1 point... heard the ice bridge. Heard the ice bridge. Gets... $1.6 million per episode the last 2 years.
Wow.
And his response to that, after he tells the Daily News how much he makes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not one of these stars like the guys on Friends where they signed a deal and it leaks out. Kelsey Grammer says to the guy,
right,
I'm making $1 million.
And does anybody remember this guy was an absolute maniac?
Yes.
I mean, maniac.
Well, car-rolling maniac.
He addresses that here. He says, I've had rewards beyond my dreams. Blah, blah, blah. From 1987 through the mid-90s, he was drunk and driving, coke, stint in jail for probation, alleged affair with a 15-year-old babysitter whose mother sued him. All of that stopped when he crashed his Dodge Viper.
That they gave him.
Mm-hmm. The network.
Yeah, right.
The network gave him.
Because he's so great.
And he rolled it.
Yeah. And then he had to go to the Betty Ford Center. You say you stay long enough at the party and they finally say you have got to get out of here. Dealing with things with a clear head is better than being numb. He, of course, says Camille, his third wife, is the girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's made the difference. She made me think about my family and about staying with my family. Camille motivates me to walk the line. Johnny Cash sang it, too. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I love that song. It's one of the great poems about loving a woman. Doesn't this make you want to hit?
Well, it's Frasier. The art imitates life.
Mm-hmm. They had a daughter with the surrogate. Now they're going to get more surrogate babies. They chose the surrogacy because Camille can't have kids.
She's got issues.
Irritable
bowel syndrome.
Bowel syndrome.
Sorry.
Sorry, still funny.
Hello, I'm Kelsey.
Hi, Kelsey.
And I'm Camille.
For years, my wife has suffered from a medical condition.
Uh-huh.
It's called IBS, Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
Right.
It's not always an easy thing to talk about, but we are.
Because IBS strikes millions of people.
Uh-huh.
So if you have abdominal pain and bowel problems, don't get embarrassed.
Get help.
Thank you.
IBS is a real condition. Yep.
Here you go. He says, I'm a workhorse. I love working. And then they ask him the question. This is the reason I bring this to your attention.
Right.
They say, what about Friends? Friends got all of this hoopla, and now Frasier's like,
Frasier's leaving too.
And Frasier. Here's the quote. I have nothing to complain about. NBC's a pretty decent company. I wouldn't want to sully my relationship with them by whining about whether or not I got more coverage than Friends did. He's just being, mm-hmm. he's saying
being him.
He wants it.
Right.
He wants
it. Of course. Give it to me.
And, of course, on the show, there's more than just him. There's all the other people on the show. There's his brother. There's his dad. There's the girl with the British accent. Says, let me see. I'm not jealous, but I think NBC could have treated us better. And then, finally, he throws this one out again. It's unlikely, but he's talking about, as he calls it, F3.
He calls it F3?
Yes, he does.
Oh,
yes,
God. That's pretentious.
Don't hold your breath waiting for the Frasier reunion show. He says that's not going to happen.
Oh, we'll see.
However, however, do look for F3.
F3.
Which is, of course...
So F3, it's like, that'll be his project and nobody else will come along for the ride. But he needs to bring Niles.
Frasier 3. No, he's talking about doing this one.
Really?
So that just... That starting it can just fresh. Be...
Oh, is this the one where he goes like to a bed and breakfast up in New England? I'm sorry, that's Bob Newhart.
You know, really, Mike, they do a four or five dumb storylines like that where he leaves radio and he leaves his whole family and it's a way for him to continue because for some reason, Kelsey Grammer thinks it's important that he's been on TV for 20 years.
I think one of the ideas was Frasier's CSI.
Now, I've watched that.
Yeah.
And, oh, hold on. I got one more. I did the math on this. Kiefer Sutherland's getting a divorce, and, yeah, okay, Rob, that's okay. Rob is yelling because Rob wants to get a divorce. Now, if you don't tell me the details of this story previously on Rob's marriage, Rob Spiewak will go home tonight, he'll walk through the door, he'll say, hi, Carrie, how are you? Then he'll go in the back, and he'll get a giant axe, and he'll cut her head off. Now, tell me what I need to know at CTU now. Previously on 24. So, here's the deal with Kiefer Sutherland. He's filed for divorce from his wife of 8 years.
Isn't he a bit of a wild man, too? I mean, from what I've read.
He is. Kiefer had to put together a list of his monthly expenses. Now, it's very boring, because, you know, Mike, you can relate to this. I've been divorced. You know, you go through this thing. You got to say how much money you want, how much money she wants.
Yeah, I did that. I didn't have to put together a list of my monthly expenses.
Well, he did because he's a big star. And the total was, I don't know, something over $10,000 a month. And they said to Kiefer Sutherland, what do you need for $10,000 a month? Mm-hmm. Because keep in mind, he owns his house. Mm-hmm. He has someone to drive him to work every day.
Right.
He has all of these perks. So here's what he said. Kiefer Sutherland.
$13,466.
Thanks, Robbie. $13,000 a month without rent, without cars.
Okay.
Groceries, $800 a month.
Well, that means maybe he entertains. Yeah, that is blown off.
Yeah. Eating out, $2,500 a month.
For a big Hollywood star, that just seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Telephone, cell phone, and internet, $1,700 a month.
Okay.
Laundry and dry cleaning. $1,666 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on. Slow down for a second. I go to the cleaners every week. I bring like eight shirts, eight pairs of pants, some of my wife's stuff. You know, the most when I pick up like a ton of stuff, she says to me, oh, Mr. Mike, that'd be, you know, $58.22.
Yeah, I say, you know, for a really big thing for me, it's like $62.
I was going to say, but that's $60 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And
finally,
the biggest one, entertaining and gifts. $6,800 a month.
Yeah, baby.
$6,800.
You know what entertaining and gifts is.
Yeah, that's right. Like,
glug, glug.
Right, booze and horns. That's just another reason to love Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah.
Entertaining and gifts. But really, when you think about the money that certain Hollywood stars spend, you know, it's funny when it's broken down like that, and the drag cleaning is outrageous. But by and large, I mean, what if you followed Kelsey Grammer around? I wonder how much he spends a month.
Kiefer only needs $130,000 a year to live on.
Isn't that amazing?
Of course, considering that his house is paid for and his car is paid for.
I thought Kelsey's wife has a dry cleaning with him.
I bet it's more than $1,600 a month.
Or Camille.
Hello.
Or Camille. Or Camille, who can't have babies.
So pretty, so put upon.
It's a time for the phone scan. And we'll take your calls now on any topic, 877-365-3636. That's the main number from America, from Canada, 800-636-1067. DC 202-432-1067. Mike, I don't have a button for you today.
You don't have a button?
But I know that you love Mario Lopez. The guy from Saved by the Bell?
I can't stand that guy.
Well, I know you love him.
Oh, God.
Well, here's another reason you're going to love him.
Talk about a guy that, you know, hit the lottery.
He got married 2 weeks ago.
Right. I read about that.
She's already left him.
Whoa!
Ouch. 2 weeks, and she's left him.
Hey.
He tells People magazine, the new People magazine out tomorrow.
Hey, what do you, if you'll hear about that on the other half.
He's cheated on her for several years. She just found out last week. They never had a honeymoon. And last week, she caught him at a club with another girl. He'd been married for 2 weeks, and now she's dumped, she's dumped him.
There we go. And you know, he's Mr. Squeaky Clean, isn't he?
Yeah. Not anymore, he's not.
Like the guy on that show, even on that lousy Dick Clark
show.
He
can't keep his chalupa in the wrapper.
You know who his wife is?
Who?
The Doritos girl.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, remember that girl?
Oh, my God.
So that's
really
the girl, that's the girl that he was stepping out of.
But now he's getting a place with Kiefer Sutherland. What if they'll kick him off his little dog show?
Oh, on Animal Planet?
Yeah, that stupid show where...
And he's just like, hi, I'm just so Mr. Clean and cute. But yeah. Who doesn't watch... You know, here's the thing, though. That is a dumb show.
Right.
That show he's on, like, a talent show for dogs.
Yeah, it's a talent show for dogs, where they come out and they do their tricks.
But we've all watched it.
Yes.
So what does it say about us?
It says that we spent too much time in front of that box.
Again, it's the Dard Factor.
We love tricks.
Call us. We'll take your calls. The phone scan, which lies straight ahead.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's go to Chuck in Gainesville, Virginia. Chuck, what say you?
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good.
Respect for you. I just have a whole issue with this Jessica situation where people need to get to the point, get to the facts, and start questioning the right people, which is her. And I think you make a very good and valid point. And what's going on in Bush's mind, I don't think any of us are going to completely know. The two people who really know what's going on with Bush would be Don and Mike. A lot of Bush.
Don and Mike, right? I'm delirious here. Our affiliate in Washington, D.C., WJFK. How can I forget that? Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, la la la,
la la la,
the Don and Mike Show.
And speaking of Bill O'Reilly, now we don't have the Bill O'Reilly moments because he's on vacation this week.
Oh. I'm gay, so I want, you know, gay marriage so I can do X, Y, and Z.
One thing that's been going on this week, I haven't had a chance to mention, but real quick, have you heard about this thing with Keith Olbermann?
No.
Keith Olbermann does an interview with FHM Magazine, and he says... The key thing that's left out of Bill O'Reilly's career is that he got to where he is by being a failure at every step. He was the buffoon of news in New York and Boston. Bill O'Reilly is not of this earth. He has an exceptionally well-designed TV show, but it's neither news nor truth. The number of factual errors on that show on any given night exceeds our audience.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
Fox responded. Fox says... Since he stopped reading sports scores, Keith has attracted fewer viewers than a test pattern, and his career's been nothing short of a train wreck. We pity his tortured soul and wish him the best.
Wow! So Fox, like, dives right down into it.
Keith Olbermann says, my soul stopped beating tortured the day I stopped working for those soulless clowns at Fox.
Wow.
Cool.
So that's a good fight.
Yeah.
But, between O'Reilly and what's his name, Keith Olbermann.
Now, where is Keith Olbermann now? What is he doing now?
He's in, we call it purgatory.
MSNBC?
MSNBC, yeah.
Purgatory,
yeah.
And one more thing about Kiefer Sutherland. Buzz, you would know this. It was in a magazine that he's dating a girl from the show, Ryko Allsworth. Do you know who that is?
Doesn't ring a bell. I'm sorry. I don't know which cast member that is.
R-E-I-K-O. Maybe somebody on the phone scan knows.
I think it's the vice president. Yeah, the bald guy.
Well, he's not a faggot.
Or the staff, the chief of staff.
Not a faggot. Mike, it's a girl's name.
I'm kidding.
I know you are.
It's the young programmer with the big black eyebrow.
God, I hope it's not the girl that was on Roseanne.
Well, no, that's Sarah.
Larry, what about the lady, the girl that was on Larry Sanders?
That's the one I'm thinking of. One of it's Chloe. That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
Her name is Mary Beth Raxcub or something like that.
That's a good name. That's a very good name. I'm looking up Ryko.
All right, please do that. And while you're doing that, a phone scan. We got to make it fast today. I'm sorry, we're running out of time, and we want to give away some prizes. So let's get your calls on the air. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I think I know why Kiefer Sutherland's getting divorced. And it has everything to do with that $1,000 worth of internet every month. I got divorced for the same reason. My wife didn't like all the porn.
Oh, you think he's on the porn sites?
Well, you know, $100 for your cell phone, maybe $50 for the house phone. The rest goes to the internet.
Yeah, but that's not even the biggest one. The biggest one with him is the entertaining and the dry cleaning and laundry. $1,600 a month?
Well, you know, you kind of ties all together. I mean, I guess you spend a lot of money on those websites. You require a lot of dry cleaning.
I guess. Makes sense.
Yeah. Or you can do it my way.
Use a sock.
Use a sock. Oh, and listen,
haven't we discussed, I know we with the new parameters, it's difficult to go deep into this subject, but haven't we discussed before that as far as a source for any kind of stimulating material, the internet, it leaves me cold.
Me,
I always feel like somebody's staring back at me, and I like that.
I like a DVD. And Buzz,
yes.
I was going through some of the DVDs. I've got a weird progression with Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz, over the years, has given me in gift form adult DVDs.
Yes.
So he first started by giving me not softcore, but not hardcore.
Your tastes were different then.
And then
we all remember the discussions.
Yes. And then everybody.
Then he came over to our side.
Everybody kind of won me over to the money shot side. So I was going through that collection earlier today, looking at some of those movies.
Were you now?
Earlier today.
You were doing that today.
Yes. And
yes, I was.
I put one of the DVDs in. It was one of the first ones you got me.
Okay.
And I realized immediately that it had to be the first one you got me because there was no real action. It was one of those. And I know we're not doing the same shows we did before.
I understand what you're saying.
Let me just say, all you saw was a lot of the young woman's hair.
Ah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's the edited version.
But the thing that grossed me out, and I'm going to give you this DVD, Buzz, to and ask you why you gave it to me, because I've never watched
it. All right.
I watched it today. The guy, the star of the movie, the guy that was...
Yeah? Yeah?
He had a big oogie Band-Aid on his forehead.
Ew.
It's set on a boat. Do you remember giving me this one?
No, well, you know, I don't watch them because I know you like to receive your gifts in hermetically sealed, never opened before packages.
Well, that's true.
And so I haven't
seen
it.
Is there a chance it could have been covering a tattoo?
Oh, no. It looked like perhaps some fresh wound.
Was perhaps an homage to the Band-Aid in Pulp Fiction? Was it on his neck?
Impossible. It was right over his right eye.
Marsalis had it right on his neck, and we never knew what that was for.
Right, just like
and we never knew,
really
it was
knew
in
what the glow in the briefcase was. But this guy's got the thing right over his eye.
That's gross.
A Band-Aid.
I don't think you should have any Band-Aids on any actors in any kind of movie.
Guy's in a porno. I don't want to see a Band-Aid.
That's better than an oozing wound.
Oh, gross. Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike. Guten Tag.
Hey, right.
What's going on?
Guten Tag.
Hey, when are you guys going to Germany? You and Robbie, I guess, aren't you, Don?
Robbie, is it this summer or next summer? You know, this is something that's on the Cunny Channel.
It has been postponed by a year, so it'll be summer of 2005. Because the Olympics are in Europe, and flights were just such a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's
really
true.
Book.
All right.
Well,
you.
Hey, when you get to Germany, be sure to go up to Bremen, man. That's where they brew Beck, so.
Yeah, well, Rob, I know, would love to go, though. That's his favorite brew.
All right, thank you, my
friend. Hey, Buzz, Blaze, one for the nation. Later.
I don't know what that means.
What did he say?
Something about blazing one for the nation.
Okay, blazing one. You don't understand that.
No, he should have called about an hour and 10-15 minutes ago.
Hello.
Code.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
This is Leroy from Woodbridge. I got a 91 Camaro. Do you think a camp of 44K would help?
Well, I think what you have to do is you have to make sure that you use BG products.
BG.
It's not going to extend the life. It'll just protect better.
And come on, you got to listen to the whole show. We went into the oil change thing earlier in today's show.
Mike's got 25% engine oil life left. His engine's going to seize.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi there.
Hey, this is Mario Lopez. I'd like to know if I won the Soprano prize pack.
Mario Lopez?
Yes. Mario Lopez.
We might have to.
No.
We might really have to.
Dude,
I think really it's necessary.
I recommend it.
Because really what this is a complete stopping of the show.
I know you're not really Mario Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
What?
And you're attempting to do comedy and you have a... shouldn't you be tending to that child?
You're ill-equipped.
Sir?
Hello? And now listen, don't hang up because we have your phone number.
We're gonna have to.
We want to give you a prize. What's your name?
Marco.
Marco.
Hello.
All right. So Marco.
Marco, what are you trying to do here? Just were you trying to be funny?
I just knew you liked Mario Lopez. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we love him. Now, what about that child you've abducted?
I'm abducting many children, picking them up at an after-school daycare program.
Did you say you're abducting many children? Is that what you said?
No, not abducting.
That's what you said.
Just picking them up.
All right, how many kids do you have, Marco?
Right now in the vehicle there's two, and I'm headed to another school to pick up three, I believe, there.
Hold on a second. Is this your job or what? What are you doing?
I work for a limo company, and this is what we...
So you're picking up children.
What if he said I work for Michael Jackson?
No, I don't work for Michael Jackson.
So you're picking up children. You got the Ray R show on?
Well, your show's not... It's kind of tame now, so it's, you know... Actually, they got their own radio in the back.
I'm concerned. This is somebody who... This guy's got to go.
Are you driving a limo with little kids in it?
Yeah, and it...
Hold on, what kind of little kids get
in it? Is it a van? Is it a big van?
No, it's a limo, actual limousine.
What kind of kids get driven around in limousines besides the Olsen twins?
Richie Rich.
It's just the after-school daycare program that provides a limousine service for the kids to get picked up.
You are kidding me.
Are they wealthy kids?
No, they're just regular kids. I'm dropping them off at a karate school and some other after-school program, and they just, you know...
They're not rich kids. They're being picked up by a limousine to take them to their karate schools.
We're going
to
need a last initial, Mark.
What's your last initial?
R.
And you're calling from the greater Sacramento area?
That is correct.
All right, stand by for your prize. Here we go.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
You have been selected as a charter member in the Don and Mike Exclusive Listeners Club.
Hey, good for you.
You are now a registered Don and Mike caller and are entitled to all the privileges that come with said title. Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign.
Right.
Which is to be placed prominently in your front yard.
Yeah.
You have been profiled, tagged, and you are now in the book.
Congratulations.
Good day.
Good day.
I said good day, sir.
Congratulations. Robbie, you got us. Is it 000000008?
You're too many zeros, but yes, number 8, and you'll be pleased to know that Sacramento now represents 3/8 of the book.
Yeah!
Wow.
All right, sir.
Yeah, great!
You know what that means, dude.
All righty.
Okay,
all right, Marco.
Thank you.
Seems like a broken man now.
Eject. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
We had to put him in the book, and that means he can never call back. And if he ever calls back, we've got the book.
That's a good one. That's a good booking.
Hello, you're on the air.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
I'm not in the book yet, so that's why I'm calling. Hey, I learned a lot from you guys over the years, and today I learned that I have something in common with Kelsey Grammer's wife.
What is that? You have your...
IBS, and I can't have children. But I don't understand why she can't have children because
you
of
know
it.
What? I don't either, honestly.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Unless that's where they were going to come out.
It's not how I thought they were born. I doubt that would be possible. We know that for a fact.
There is this guy. There is a guy named Jeff Culloden.
True story.
His sister used to work with us at the radio station we were talking about before.
Right.
And we had worked at this radio station in, a couple of years?
It had been a long time, and we asked how his sister was doing.
And he said, she's great, she's married, she's got a kid. And we said, oh, that's fantastic. And he said, it was a very, very tough birth. And both Mike and I said, oh, God.
Really? I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Why was it so tough? And I don't think we asked that. He actually volunteered before we asked.
He said it was an anal birth.
Right, and we believed him. Because we're idiots. Because we're really, beyond dumb, both of us. And he sold it so much, really. He said, no, they did that. They had a process where they had...
Obviously, he and his sister were real close.
Yeah, we were just sitting there going... And because we reacted, and we're in that kind of social, awkward situation where we're going, really? We're really curious.
He's making a joke, and this, we didn't know, and so he didn't tell us it was a joke.
Well, the reason we didn't think... The reason we reacted the way we did, and I'm giving us a little bit of a pass here, is because it was so unbelievable that the brother of someone would make a comment about her firstborn child.
And I remember exactly when I knew that it was just the dumbest thing. I remember going home and telling Frida,
right.
Hey, Kathy had a baby, Kathy from Wava, and saying, and Mike and I were at Hamburger Hamlet today. We saw her brother Jeff, and it was an anal birth. Frida said, what kind of idiot are you? And we talked the next day, and you had said something to somebody as well, didn't
right,
you?
Right, yeah, we were idiots.
He sold
it so completely.
Wow.
He said, no, it was something, it's a medical procedure, it's been done. And
we thought it could happen.
We're going,
hello, we thought it could happen. Thank God we weren't put in the book.
Yeah, that's for sure. We would have been on that.
Hello, you're on the air, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, hey, Mike.
Hi, howdy.
I want to ask you a quick question.
Yeah. Really?
How do you know if you have an overbite?
This is a joke.
This is a joke.
Yeah, a little bit.
No. Listen, again, I'm not going to put you in the book, my friend, but here's the deal. If you're calling with a joke on this show, you have to be able to put your phone number out there. That we've got your number on caller ID. If we think the joke is funny, we'll give you a prize. We'll laugh. If the joke's not funny, we give out your phone number.
It's my business line, man. I can't do that.
All right, you can't tell the joke. Right,
I'm glad you saved everybody.
A rare decision.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Rich from Medical Lake here. Going back to the phrase...
Kind of a nickname.
It was kind of a nickname.
Rich from something H.
The way it sounded,
Rich
it might
from
not
preparation
have,
H.
You know, no. If he had counsel, he may have been able to make a case for the fact that it wasn't, it wasn't against the rules per se. But the way it sounded, sometimes you got to make those decisions.
You're
on the
fly. You're gonna have to start retaining counsel before you call the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're gonna have to be like Kobe Bryant before you call the
show.
Not
a bad idea, Don.
And listen, do I have to hear any more about what a Superman Kobe Bryant is? Because he's able to go to a rape trial and come back and score 40 points in a basketball game.
That seems to be the consensus on the sports media, the way they're covering that right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
I mean, hey, incredible job. All that pressure, hey, and he left his troubles behind him as he scored 40 points earlier.
Yeah, come on. I mean, listen, I don't think he raped that girl. I don't, because they found stuff in her underpants from other guys, and she's got a nutty history. But still, let's glorify Kobe Bryant for being a pretty goddamn good basketball player.
Right.
Who went out the other night and had an incredible game, a Jordan-esque game. One of those things where I was watching the game. He was just throwing up stuff from everywhere, off the glass.
But I think really, in the name of anything that's even reasonably decent, you don't tie it into something like he's making
and
a statement and relating it to the trial. Come on.
I heard Doug Collins saying, and they had a graphic up saying, now there's been four times that Kobe's had to go back to Eagle, Colorado for the rape trial, and all four times, each time he's had a better game. So what they're implying is...
Now a stat.
Not only is he some kind of a Superman because he can go to a rape trial and fly back and score 40 points,
amazing,
but now they found out he plays better on the days when he's at the rape trial.
Yeah, it just, it is sick.
Yeah.
Hello. It's weird.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Don and Mike show.
It's like
Hello.
Believing that somebody successfully could give birth the way we were told.
That's crazy.
I think that could happen.
Well, I think anything's possible. No.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
No way.
Hello. Are you there? Oh, I got to do that.
I think it stinks.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
You're always poo-pooing my ideas, Mike. Hello.
That actress from 24?
Yes.
That's Michelle, Tony Almeida's wife.
Oh, so that's good. Hey, that's good. You got a chime. Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. We didn't know that. So that's a keeper's with.
Very, very cool.
Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, Pine Tree State greetings. Hey, Mike, have you got any Red Sox tickets yet?
Have I got Red Sox tickets? I have Red Sox tickets that I bought for a friend, and I have Red Sox tickets that I bought for me.
You have got to get those right field seats.
You mean the new ones?
Yes, they have a bar.
You know what they're doing, seriously, very briefly, Park, which I think is cool for any old ballpark, is it's miraculous that they've taken this whole thing. And then instead of building the new ballpark, what they're doing is they're adding on, and the two groups of seats they put in Fenway Park are just fantastic. And you can't get them. Yeah, I mean, they're hard to get.
It's like you sit on a roof.
Yeah, like
you
one's
stand
on top
on
of the
roof.
Green Monster. They did that last year. And this year, they've added them on in right field.
Amazing.
And it's very, very cool. Very cool.
Pay any amount of money on the internet, be a ticket broker, or whatever. I mean, you see every business.
Mike, would you do that immediately?
I'm going to do that right now.
Would you go on?
And I am outraged that LaToya was voted off American Idol.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
You're the last one. Lucky you.
Hey.
Hey.
Mike, I didn't know if you were aware. Last time Boston Rob was on Survivor, he wore a New England Patriots hat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the year they won the Super Bowl. And this time he wore a Boston Red Sox hat the whole time.
Sir, can I just break in? I know you're probably having a Boston conversation with Mike. Can I just tell you, though, Boston Rob's a retard. And whatever he does has absolutely no impact.
Does not reflect.
I would love to give Mike a reason for hope or a reason for sorrow.
You don't need to give me a reason for hope because the Boston Red Sox, with a very depleted team, are in first place. The Yankees are nipping at their heels. I feel good about the Red Sox. I don't, and sir, with all due respect, I don't need Boston Rob, who I can't stand, to make me feel good about the Red Sox.
Dave, so I said to Amber,
I love you no matter
and
what.
A popular school of thought about people from New England is that that guy tweaks out what's called a professional Bostonian with the...
I believe so.
I love her, and, you know, she's Amber. Amber is such a, you know, I think he tweaks that up. I really do.
Thanks,
really
so. Do. All right, hey, listen, what's your name, my friend?
It's Mark.
Mark, where are you from?
Baltimore.
Right on live 105. You got the Sopranos prize pack. Oh, you'll love it. You get the Tony Soprano roast.
Oh, they're great.
We've all got them. Sunday night at 9, 8 Central, the all-new episode of The Sopranos. That's on HBO. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Okay, you got it. Now, hold on a second.
We've all got them, and we're wearing them now.
And when we come back, we have limited time for a game, so get your stories ready. We used to do the vagina monologue.
Right.
That material's out. Then we did the guy's monologue.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's out.
Right.
As far as I can tell, the FCC don't have any problem with armpits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for the armpit monologues.
Yeah.
We give you 30 seconds, and you are your armpit. Robbie, will you put 30 seconds on the clock?
And Don, I'm going to request that people think outside of the pit for this. I really want the unique stories. I mean, the obvious stuff is like, oh, here comes the deodorant or something like that. A lot of people can have problems with their armpits.
Mm-hmm. For instance, may I offer from my own body?
You go right ahead.
Body.
Please do.
Hi, everybody. This is Don's right armpit. I want to tell you why it's hell living under Don's right armpit. Because
his right arm.
Right under here, it's not a skin tag, and it's not a zit. It's like a little tiny mushroom thing, and every once in a while, because Don is gross, he picks at it, and then it gets bloody, and it's really hard.
Congratulations, you're a big winner.
Good story.
Okay.
There you go. That was wonderful. What a wonderful example you've given everyone.
And a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And who wants to see me without my shirt off? So, what would your arm armpit say?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What would your armpit say 30 seconds in the armpit monologue?
Compete with that.
Call us now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What you do? Go to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city.
Yep.
That's right. It's a little place called I don't give a damn.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're garbage cans. Don and Mike.
This is the
Yeah, this is a good day. Good weather for this.
Wow. Unless you're listening in Kansas. It was like 45 in Kansas.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. What the hell's it 45 for?
Because it's Wichita.
And then you're going to get, well, that means, you know, as soon as it gets warm, you're going to get those nasty ones. That you
but
get
it's
out
not going to get warm there.
Of course it will.
No, it's never going to get, it's never going to get warm in Wichita.
Never again?
Never again will it get warm in Wichita, Kansas.
Used to get to 100. I have to ask one quick question about that. You know, because since we were making a veiled reference to tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
you know, don't answer this. All right. Am I the only one that's excited about that Day After Tomorrow movie?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm up for it.
I think it just looks neat.
Yeah.
I think it just really looks... I know the special effects, we've seen them before, but it does look pretty intense.
Pretty fun.
Did you watch the trailer for it?
The 10-minute thing?
Yeah.
No, I
watched
it.
It looked pretty well. You know, and I know you like Dennis Quaid.
I like anything, and I like
Randy better, Mike.
The real talent of the family.
Like Independence Day, when they showed, like, it looked like real things being blowed up real good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's
always
fun.
Does look good. Although
there's a scene in there where they showed in the trailer, so I'm not giving anything away, where the reporter's saying, this is incredible in Los Angeles. We've got tornadoes right on the moment. And all of a sudden you see this piece of sheet metal, and it just takes the guy out.
Wow. However, keep in mind that around the time that Armageddon, or as Rudy Marsky would say, Armageddon came out,
right.
There was another movie with Tia Leone that had what I thought from the ads looked like great special effects, where a giant tidal wave, because a meteor hit.
Right, it's a meteor.
A giant tidal wave, like we get these extremely high, 200-foot waves that crest over New York City.
Right.
And I went to see the movie, and it looked like a Godzilla, you know, with the bad...
Well, even with the trailer on this, some of the special effects looked a little whacked out, but they were so... There were so many of them, even in the trailer, that it looked interesting. The premise is what? Global warming?
Right,
causes
right.
Icebergs to melt and cause flooding. And
all right, hold on. We're talking about armpits now.
Okay, sorry.
Right. Sorry, we got to get to the armpit monologues.
All right, very good. Armageddon to armpits.
We have a prize packs to give away.
Right.
We have Buzz with the news coming up. And here is Thaddeus
Yes, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Thaddeus, welcome to the Armpit Monologues. This is totally subjective, Mike and I.
And are we going to pick the first one that we really like? Is that the way it's going to work?
That's it.
All right, you're in a tough position, Thad.
30 seconds. Yeah, Rob wants
to... Nothing task, but I'm up to it.
Rob thinks you have a gay name.
Thaddeus.
Thaddeus.
Hi, Thaddeus.
I'll beat him senseless for you, sir, if you'd like.
30 seconds. Do your armpit monologue. Go, Thaddeus.
Well, it was sweaty and dandy down here, but then I got a boil. And then it popped. And there was blood everywhere. And Thaddeus couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And then it got infected. And then we all had to go to the hospital. And they had to stick a needle in me.
I'm going to have to disqualify you because I'm sorry. It's too much like my skin tag under my armpit.
It is. No, and, you know, it could very well have been true, but it was just uninteresting.
Hello, Don and Mike. Here is Dave, area code 412. That's Pittsburgh, right?
That's right, Don and Mike.
So to speak.
Isn't it funny how you remember stuff like that? You know, I know because I worked there twice. 412, uh-huh. Pittsburgh.
Let's get right to it. Listen, I'm Buzz Burbank's armpit, okay?
Oh. Okay. All right. Here's Dave as Buzz's armpit. Go.
Okay. Saturday morning. It's time to wake up, and I guess I'm going to get that shower again. You know, every Saturday morning we get started in that shower. They're coming out now. We're all dried off, and, I guess it's going to be deodorant. But no, wait a minute. This isn't deodorant. Wait a minute. This is just for men's gel. This isn't for the armpit hair. Stop, Buzz! No! I wish you'd just shave me like you did when you were a teenager.
I'll kick your ass, too.
Man, that's a pretty good...
Yeah.
That's a keeper.
It was.
Hold on a second, Dave.
Hold on.
This is just for men, gel.
Hello, Jennifer, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
I was hoping we'd get a lady in this competition.
Jennifer, are you ready to talk as your armpit?
I am ready to talk as... Delta Burke's armpit.
Very nice. You know, this is a nice twist. You don't have to be about your own armpit.
Very good.
Delta Burke's armpit. Go.
And it is very dark and moist down here. And this morning, a cicada emerged. Oh, how I wish you would shave her armpit so these cicadas would stay away. And every morning I sing to her and I sing, Delta Burke, what's that deodorant you have on? It smells like pig and chicken grease.
Okay, bye.
That's nice, promise.
Nice try.
Yeah, it was a nice, it started out good.
Nice try. Tony!
Yes, how are you, gentlemen?
Tony, will you be speaking of your own armpits or someone else's?
I am, for the next 30 seconds, Dick Cheney's armpit.
Okay.
Dick Cheney's armpit.
All right.
Okay, we'll give you a try, but you got to know, the buzzer's going pretty fast. The guy who was Buzz's armpit... had some pretty solid stuff.
It was very unique. And, you know, I really... We're also looking for real armpit stories.
For real armpits.
Too.
Are you ready?
Well, this is a very real armpit, of course.
All right, go.
All right, go.
Go.
Well, good afternoon, America. I'm Dick Cheney's armpit here, and I just want to let you know that...
Bye-bye.
You're lucky we don't put your ass in the book. Hello, Rich.
Oh, your armpit.
Yeah, hey, Rich. No nickname. I am actually from Medical Lake.
Medical Lake.
Thank you for not saying it's Medical Lake Richard, or you would have been out of here.
No, I got the buzzer last time.
Yeah. Are you talking about your own armpit?
My own armpit, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Rich's armpit, ready, set, go. What, Rob, what?
I think you've already disqualified him once. He said he's calling back. Well,
you thought I had a nickname. Give him a free pass.
Let him go, Rob. Yeah. Please let him go. Let him go.
All right.
You know, here's the thing, Robbie. I love you. But you know when we talk sometimes about how the show runs late?
Yes.
You know sometimes why the show runs late?
I don't know why.
Because you step up and just start talking. Because on any contest, you always want the listeners to lose.
I do.
You always want them to lose.
You can't expect the fish not to swim.
Now listen, I want to tell you something. I've gone out on a limb for you. You better knock my socks off.
I hope so.
I'm going to do my damnedest.
All right, Rich's armpit. Rob notwithstanding. Go.
Yeah, my name is AP for armpit. I live in a stink pit that is just thick with thick, stinky hair. Sometimes it's oily. Yesterday, I saw the cicadas coming out, and I
I'm tired of Rich. He's a big old fat load.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go.
No, and so, you know, and the whole thing, he stole the idea for, about the cicada.
Oh, I've had it already.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here. Rob, okay, step up to the microphone. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, he did. Hey, Rob, your odds were real good on that one.
Yeah.
Hello, Don.
If I was betting, I would have picked you were going to go. You're going to come out ahead on that one.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello there. I'll try this one. We're using the Canada lines now. Don and Mike, hello.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, are you going to be talking about your own armpits?
Unfortunately.
All right. Mike's armpits. His monologue. Go.
Oh, it's hot. If you come on, get the finger. Come on. Yeah. Oh, scratch. Oh, come on. Ah, oh, thank God. Come on, scratch. Ah, oh, yeah. Oh,
scratch. Oh, scratching.
Uh-huh. Oh, much better now.
That sucked.
Done.
I know it did.
I just thought I'd say it.
Uh-huh. But he's still got... I don't know what...
You hit the early buzzer on everybody else. You're enjoying this on some level.
Well, I think...
You like the scratch stinky.
I think that he, you know, he at least came at it from a different point of view.
Yeah, it's not just for Mangel, though, is it?
No, and that's going to be hard to beat. Yeah. He came at it from an erotic point of view. We have time for one more. Karen. Karen, are you ready?
Hello?
Hey, Rob, it's Karen.
This wouldn't be... No, never mind. It's not Karen. It's not a real Karen. Why did it say Karen on the screen? What's your name?
Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, are you going to be talking about your own armpits?
No, I'm going to be talking about her armpits.
Whose armpits?
If I say my wife, she'll kick my ass. I'll just say her armpits.
Okay, hold on. No, it's good if it's
all right,
her wife.
Armpit. Your wife's.
Your wife's armpits.
Very good.
Armpit. Go.
Oh, as I lie here, I can't believe that poor SOB, when he makes love to her, as he eases down her neck over her shoulder near me, the repugnant odor that he's forced to endure just for the experience of making love, the oozing wet sweat dripping down the hairs off his nose. It makes me sick to think about it. I don't know how you can stand it. Is getting a piece of tail really worth that?
Now, there's a I like the guy. Repugnant. That was my favorite.
There's a second guy who
nice.
Who came through. You know what? We're up on the news time already. We're up on the news
time. We have to make
already.
A decision?
Yes.
Yeah, so oh, man, it's hard now.
Mm-hmm. It's got Dave and Kevin.
Those are the two guys. Dave was the buzz Just for Men.
Uh-huh.
I vote for the guy Dave because the Just for Men stuff was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But vote anyway, of course, Mike.
The last guy was fun, but I mean, it's the original tied into something, and, you know, any time you can make a joke about Buzz's hair, I mean, you got to go with it.
Hey, Dave?
All right.
Yeah, Dave, congratulations. Oh, hold on, let me start the Buzz music here. Dave, congratulations, Dave. You won the WWE SmackDown Judgment Day prize pack.
Excited.
Starring The Undertaker. Buzz. Watch SmackDown on UPN starting at 8. Now, you've qualified for a trip for two to WWE SummerSlam in Toronto, August 15th. I think we're giving that away tomorrow. That's from UPN. And you've also won the TAC Retro Stereo from Fox, That 70s Show. Watch That 70s Show next Wednesday for the one-hour season finale.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And that's a good armpit monologue. That's another game. Mm-hmm. We'll do that when we have more time.
Very good.
On a day when Rob has less to say. And, Dave, you're calling from Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Mike, there you go. Who knew that we were even still on the air in Pittsburgh?
Well, yeah. The network, you might be surprised to know this, doesn't let us know where we're on.
Well, we just got you about 4 months ago.
That would be the same station, that WURP?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. Okay. I used to listen to you in Tampa back when you used to say, we're Don and Mike and we'll say what we want, but you're still good.
Thank you very much, sir.
We still say that.
Where else would you rather be?
Not bad.
Than right here.
Hold on.
Right now.
Oh, you mean this thing, the Bob Barker thing?
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Mike, come on now, Buzz. Don't be mad because it was your armpit. Don't be mad. Don't beat him up, Buzz.
You know, funny story.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden.
In the summer, it actually gets blonder.
What, your hair?
Yeah.
Your armpit hair?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a creep.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Creepy Buzz.
He made it up.
Your armpit hair gets...
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Oh,
it's a
joke. Okay. Well, you never... And Mike, wait, what were you doing? Putting your
you know what
face,
I was doing?
Putting
seriously?
Your face in your shirt.
Just that very moment, I was just thinking, and I was checking out down there, and God, I smell good.
Buzz, yes. what is your lead story today?
Thank you, Rob.
News and comments.
Today, Martha Stewart may have to give a makeover to the hood.
Martha Stewart.
Stay tuned for news and comment.
About those pits.
On the Don and Mike Show.
How about those pits? About those pits in jail.
Mmm.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Cracker?
The Don and Mike Show.
Let them give ye a comedy facial. Don and Mike.
Well, we sure are having fun.
Yeah.
I just want to say, there was a time, I don't know, was it 4 or 5 months ago? Coming every day just hating this place?
It was a true drag. I was saying to somebody just the other day, we are having a very good time doing this radio.
God, yes.
And Beth Ann, our new producer, called today. She called on the request line.
Uh-huh.
Saying she found a place to live. Hey, that's great. Honey, get your ass here, okay?
Enjoying the fun.
You know, I got a box you can live in. Get your ass here, Chris Ann.
Beth Ann. Chris Ann would be Chris Ann Balulis, a person we used to work with a long time ago.
Right. Why do I remember Chris Ann?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. Chris Ann.
Chris Ann, was she? She was a salesperson that worked here.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Chris Ann. Which station was she?
She was like our Westwood rep for a while, too, I think.
Yeah, huh. She was an intern, too.
And she was an intern.
Right. Oh, right. Chris, I have no idea who she is. Anyway.
There's no Roy's mom.
This weekend.
Yeah, really.
Joe Ardinger will be in Richmond doing Jomo's Joe Man on the Street at the NASCAR Saturday night.
Cool. That is going to be fantastic.
So we'll have that on Monday. Also, Dennis Murphy was in the station today getting his tape recorder. Mm-hmm. Next week, Super Stump is going to Los Angeles.
Hallelujah.
Dennis.
Jomo's.
Right, you'll hear that on Monday. Dennis is going to Los Angeles with 10 of our listeners for that TV stuntman competition.
That's right.
And I was just told that Dennis will be driving a car in excess of 100 miles an hour.
Himself?
Oh. Himself.
Okay. Wow. Death and destruction.
Uh-huh. Part of the stunt challenge.
The amazing thing is it's manual transmission.
Oh, Rob. That is so not time for nice. Buzz. Time for Buzz and News. You can see Dennis only has one hand.
Yeah.
Time for Buzz's News brought to you by Verimax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
You called for a doctor?
Doctor developed, clinically tested it, patented Verimax. Get it at 1-888. Try VMAX.
I think Dennis would tell you he could drive a stick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what? He could, right? Which is the bad one? His left or his right?
Hold on, it's right. It's his right, so he couldn't drive a stick.
Unless he got like a suction cup on the end of it or something.
I hear Buzz Ahoy, mate.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
If a Brooklyn lawmaker gets her way, Martha Stewart wouldn't go to prison. Instead, Martha would do her community service work in the hood.
And she's gone!
The New York congresswoman says she's asked the judge in Martha's case to sentence the domestic diva to serve at a training center for low-income women in one of Brooklyn's most poverty-stricken neighborhoods. Quoting the lawmaker, I believe Ms. Stewart's value should not be squandered as she repays the court and the American people for her crimes. As an entrepreneur, her skills could be put to good use. The congresswoman says Martha could probably learn a thing or two in the process.
I'm watching The View yesterday with Rosie O'Donnell, which is just ridiculous. Those crazy women with Rosie O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what she said. And before you call, I know it's O'Donnell, but it's funny to say Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's talking about a myriad of this of topics. She's saying that people are approaching her now and saying, we didn't know that you were gay.
Right.
And she says, well, you know, I was gay 2 years into the show, and if you liked the show then, I was gay then. Then she says, as women, we should unite behind Martha Stewart.
Mm. Oh,
and
God.
Now, at this point, the other four on the show don't turn on her. They just say, really, that's a very interesting thought. Mm-hmm. And they let her go on and just, you know, the Rosie and blah, blah, blah,
when,
blah, blah.
When the average person is going to go, shut up.
Yeah. So here's how they do things on The View. They wait for Rosie O'Donnell to leave.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm watching it today, 11 o'clock today, I turn it on. First thing they say, well, welcome to The View. Hi, I'm Meredith Vieira. We've never received more email than we did after Rosie O'Donnell's appearance on the show yesterday, where she said that all women should support Martha Stewart because it's a male-female thing. And then after they get done reading the hate mail, they go one through four down the line. They go to the her and the fat woman and the comedian, the one that was on Survivor, and they all say, well, what she said was just wrong, and it was really bad. And I'm saying, how come none of you bitches said anything to her?
Yeah, right.
She was sitting right there yesterday.
Call her on it, and you know something? Your ratings will go up if you call her on it.
And I guess yesterday they all said how brave Rosie was that she, you know, to stand behind Martha Stewart.
Oh, yes. Come off
at
it.
This time. Anyway, jeez. That's Martha Stewart news. That's Rosie O'Donnell news.
That's a good point on The View, and I hope they're listening. Rush Limbaugh, meanwhile, has gone on the offensive against the man who's trying to put him in jail for doctor shopping. Rush bought two full-page ads in two Florida newspapers to accuse the prosecutor of being politically motivated.
Oh, here we go.
He quotes D.C.'s Republican newspaper, The Washington Times, to back up his claim. The prosecutor says Rush broke the law by going to a string of doctors to pursue the same prescription pain drugs. The newspaper says the case is shaky because it's based on testimony from Limbaugh's ex-housekeeper, Wilma.
Wilma, baby, blues, Wilma.
I will meet you at the Denny's parking lot. Need pills now.
Who's been killed? Who's been killed?
That's the only point of view that I have, ladies and gentlemen.
About the Iraqi prisoner of his... I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, am I alone? Who's been killed?
Mr. Limbaugh, time for your blood test.
And I want to say hello to the longtime EIB listener, Sue. Sue Positori.
Sue Positori, one of my biggest fans.
Have you seen the UFO video? The Mexican Air Force videoed 11 bright and rapidly moving objects on March
5th. I've seen a still of it. I've not seen the moving pictures.
Now, before you...
The moving pictures show.
But before, you know, when they say Mexican Air Force, you think, the first thing you think is a drunk guy in a riding a donkey.
Well, that would be stereotypical.
Who's got, like, an American Airlines hat on.
Yes, exactly.
But apparently, the Mexicans...
They have an Air Force.
They're a real Air Force. The Mexicans have a real Air Force.
Yes.
I saw the video, and the video is... I have to say intriguing because you see, at least in the part that I saw, five very definite bright lights that zoom around.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Oh, yes.
I totally do.
Oh, yes, I do.
I actually did a, when I was way, way back in a young broadcaster, actually before that, when I was in college, did a huge paper on UFOs, interviewed a bunch of people, and the main logic of it is it would be very, they all said the same thing. Be very arrogant for us to think we're the only ones right here on this planet.
I used to believe, I kind of stopped, and now...
No, Rob, let's stop.
Buzz is not high.
Now I'm starting to believe again. Listen to this.
You think Mike's high?
Now he's giving Mike the drinking sign.
Buzz is high, and Mike's drinking.
Body out there.
Yeah, they're out there, Rob.
No, Robbie, I agree. They're out there.
The pilots used...
The Canadians, not the Martians.
The pilots used an infrared lens to document what they thought at first were drug-smuggling planes, but... Then they saw there were 11 of them. Only three of them, however, showed up on radar. The objects appeared to accelerate instantly and change course just as suddenly. The pilots say at one point the UFOs encircled them. One UFO buff says this proves their existence. The Mexican Air Force says it's reached no conclusions. UFOs were also spotted over Iran less than 2 weeks ago.
Wouldn't that be great if they, like, took out all of our problems?
Be a great diversion.
Wouldn't it be great if the Martians went out, like, and the Martians from Mars
attacks. I got news for you. If they come down, they're not going to take out all of our problems. You know what I mean? I think, really, if they come down and say, you know, they're not going to go, hey, we got to get to the United States. I don't think your average alien is going to really pay much attention to that, do you?
Well, sure I do.
It's going to be the world. You think it's going to be us?
No, I think that, Mike, I have that feeling that you were saying,
right?
That we are the I believe that we are the most evolved creatures in the universe. And when the Martians come down, they're going to see we're the bestest people.
You're talking about the United States.
Yeah.
And then they're going to ignore the rest of the they're basically going to attack all of our enemies.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. They'll come down. That'll be great. Keep believing that.
They'll do our work for us.
I have a much more utopian view of things. I believe that they will come down and perhaps give us the knowledge where all human beings on this earth
can
get together.
In the past, when I've mentioned that to you,
yes,
you have mocked me because I said that it's kind of the belief of Star Trek, that when we do get invaded by Martians,
right,
suddenly we'll realize that we're all just human beings, mm-hmm. and it's human beings against Martians.
Yeah, but you've right. always said that in the idea that we all band together to fight the Martians.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because they're going to be attacking us,
yeah.
and we're all going to get together.
Mars attacks.
See, I don't believe that. I think we're going to hopefully get together, and they're going to help us see the light.
And then what are we going to have? We have some kind of mutant hybrid Martian babies, like human bodies with those big, gigantic Martian heads? I mean,
what? They're coming mm-hmm. to rescue their own, is what they're coming. It's a rescue mission. They're coming to get Andy Dick.
Well, they can have him. One of our now this stuff. One of our soldiers accused of abuse also abused American prisoners, according to a man who was wrongly imprisoned in Pennsylvania. This former death row inmate says former guard Charles Greener, quote, does not represent our military. Now, Private First Class Lindy England, meanwhile, really gave it up for her country. According to lawmakers who've seen some of the photographs, we haven't. She's the soldier with a prisoner on a leash in that now famous video. Lindy was apparently photographed having sex with a group of other American soldiers in front of some of the Iraqi prisoners. Quoting one of the lawmakers who's seen hundreds of these pictures, it appears to be consensual.
Oh, my God.
Said another.
And she's the one that last night, Don saw a clip of this, and then I was watching on 60 Minutes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a shred
and I told
of
you,
remorse. And she's all lawyered up, too.
Yeah. When
she was checking with her lawyer.
You know,
when
I saw the clip yesterday morning and they were teasing it, she said, I was following orders. And then they said, who gave the orders? And she looked at her lawyer and she said, I can't say.
Yeah. And you know, at one point, she smirked. And that blew me away.
And if I could just say this without anybody who's female getting upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
She is cute as a button.
In a manly way.
She's so feminine.
Yeah, very much.
She's so petite.
Here are some quotes from lawmakers who've seen these pictures that we haven't. One says, almost everybody was naked all the time. Quoting another, there was lots of sexual stuff, not of the Iraqis, but of our troops. And quoting still another, take the worst case and multiply it several times.
Oh, my God.
Another quote, I don't know how the hell these people got into our army. Lawmakers called the new torture pictures, by the way, sadistic, cruel, disgusting, and X-rated. We probably won't see them. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld says if it was up to him, he'd release them right now.
Liar. Okay, now, Buzz, I'm going to give each
Mike. But he says he's not sure government lawyers would sign off on
that. Yeah, I'm going to give Mike and myself 30 seconds on this one because we've had a lot of war talk.
Very good.
I saw Rumsfeld on TV today. Oh, I better start my 30 seconds. He's lying about this when he says he'd like them to be released. Here's the thing. If we are America, the greatest nation in the world, and we're big enough to admit that we made a mistake, it's so bad that we're hiding these pictures from us, from the people. Our government, what can be so bad that why can't we just come clean with this and say, this is what these guys did. Look at the pictures, let's digest it, and let's move past it. The more that these pictures are seen, and Congress and our country says the American people can't see it, the more it just ticks me off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, isn't that what America is about? You mm-hmm. have the right to say anything. You have the right to hear somebody say something that you hate, but you respect their right to say it.
Right.
Beyond that, we're supposed to be honest. So if something happens that disgraces this country, show us. Tell us and show us, and we'll deal with it. And to say that...
I thought you said 30 seconds.
So hold on. This is the important part. And then you can have equal time.
Okay.
This is the really important part, in my humble, dumb opinion. The reason, one of the reasons that we're not being shown these photos is that we're afraid that the bad guys, that Al-Qaeda, will kill more people based on what might be in the photos.
Right.
Okay, let's diagram this out. Al-Qaeda and terrorists are bad. That's why we're fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We are bad for doing this to our prisoners,
mm-hmm.
but to their prisoner, to our prisoner.
Right.
The thought that we're not going to let our people, the American public, see the pictures because we're afraid of what the terrorists are going to do if we tell our people what we did, isn't that like we're giving in to the terrorists?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. all I wanted to say. Do you want?
I want the whole nine yards on this.
Go.
You can hear a lot of people talk about national security and the damage that we'll do, releasing these photographs will do to national security.
I disagree with that. I think releasing these photographs and then prosecuting all these people that were responsible to the fullest extent of the law will prove to the rest of the world that we do take care of our problems. Mm-hmm. And I think the more that you pursue this and release this to the American people, the more you're going to have closure with this. You can't hide it. People are going to want to see this. As John McCain, Senator from Arizona, said, they're going to leak out anyway.
Yep.
And the last point that I want to make on this particular thing is, when you do release these photos, you prove that this is a great country and that we can take care of our business. And when we have scumbags that are doing this kind of stuff, we can prosecute them. And those people that are making the decisions about whether to release them or not, let me just enlighten you. We elect you, okay? We the people, you know? Mm-hmm. We put you in office.
Amen.
You work for us.
Amen.
Show us the photograph.
We want to see it.
Right.
This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. No secrets. Show us.
And I think you can't possibly have this stuff, you know, kept from the American people. We're going to find out one way or another what happened. The best way to do it is to have it completely open. That's the way it should be. It's, you know, what are we, children? I'm sorry. This is the way it should. Let the photographs out. And then, man, oh, man, like that. I was using a rather choice word for that lady when I saw her interviewed last night, and it's the real bad one. You know?
Okay.
It's the real bad one, and I was doing it in front of my girlfriend, and I apologized to her for saying it.
Oh, she hasn't heard that
before. But you know what? Let me tell you something. That's how mad this rotten individual who was smirking, who was laughing about it, and you know, really, when I saw her last night on TV, I said, you know, this is not right. This is somebody who's got, you know, let's just, I know we don't have the highest standards in the world, but maybe we beef it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, see if they were dropped on their head when they were kids. Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, Rumsfeld's lying. I'm watching him today. He's live. First off, he's in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Coincidence? Coincidence he's there?
He's there to see the prison, we're told.
So, yeah, right, because that's the right thing to do.
That's what the spin is. That's what they're doing.
He's talking, and here's a sign just with Rumsfeld that he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
But he does this with his finger. Mike, describe what I'm doing with my fingers.
He's putting you're putting the tips of your fingers together in a little pyramid.
So what he says is, he says, and he's backing in and out of this little pyramid. He says, I would love nothing better than to release these photos. However, the lawyers, the legal people of the line tell me there might be a problem with that. I would have no problem releasing them. However, it's not my decision. Hey, hold on, dummy.
Yeah.
Are you the Secretary of Defense?
Right.
Are you or are you not? Are you a puppet or are you not? Do you have a stake in this card game or do you not?
If these photos were taken for the purposes of interrogation and they're government property, I think it's, you know, there's no legal problem at all. Well, stay tuned, because, you know, this is going to get a lot more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
This scandal is going to go. I think this scandal is with us through the election.
And
easily.
Stop lying to us. Stop lying to us. Show us the picture. Say, this is what these Americans did.
Yeah.
They're awful. We're going to go after them. Mm-hmm. Now, we're
You know what? Let them pay. And, you know, I know that this goes higher up than those people, and that's what they're all doing. And incidentally, a little suspicious on that.
Mike, didn't you feel like me? It's super CYA mode.
Yeah, CYA mode. And I'm just very, very concerned about some of these people. The people that actually perpetrated this stuff. You know, I want to know. Yeah, the whole thing has to be investigated. We got to get all this stuff out, and we got to prosecute these people.
Yep. Show the pictures. Show the pictures. Show them right after American Idol. Just do it. You know, give us a good night of TV.
But you know what?
And not that it's a good night.
No.
Just get it done.
But do you feel like I do? I mean, I know a lot of these congressmen. It's going to be more of the same. We have to be prepared as a country to deal with this, because you're not going to feel good about being Americans when you see these pictures.
But do you feel good? Do you feel good about being American when you see your congresspeople coming out of a room, and some of them are crying, men and women crying.
I mean,
and
they're so disturbing, these pictures.
And they've seen this, yet it's so disturbing they can't show it to us. There are things that our countrymen did.
Right.
They're so shook up, they're crying. But we can't see it?
You know, it's almost like denial if we don't release those pictures, and we can't do that.
All right, we got a break. Buzz, thank you for the war update. What is next?
Well, just to wrap it up, up next, Donald Rumsfeld says for the first time, okay, we might not win.
Oh, God. You know, does this not remind anybody of Vietnam?
Yeah, it does.
Very seriously, does this not remind anybody of Vietnam?
That's amazing.
Hey, did Joe do his Nam Jam today?
No, I think he's saving it for tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Nam Jam. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hot dog. The Don and Mike Show.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. So Donald Rumsfeld has also said for the very first time that the U.S. mission in Iraq might fail. He said the abuse scandal has dealt a body blow to the rebuilding efforts. As for the mission success, quote, I hope so. Will it be perfect? No. Is it possible it won't work? Yes. Rumsfeld says the mission will be reevaluated after the June 26th turnover of power to Iraq. John Kerry, meanwhile, says his first choice for Secretary of Defense is John McCain. This doesn't mean McCain's agreed to go along, just that he tops the list of Kerry's first choices. The others include Senators John Warner and Carl Levin. Kerry calls the president and his men. He says they've made a lot of miscalculations in the war. He calls the mission extraordinarily mismanaged and ineptly prosecuted.
I'll tell you what's mismanaged is the fact that Kerry's not jumping all over this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult.
I know you've got your thing that you want it. You know, you play clean. Is that what you want?
No. I mean, I don't know. It's like... It's not even necessary. I really believe that right now.
No, it is necessary.
I mean, I think we got debates to come. We got conventions to come. I mean, I just don't know whether right now is the time to do that. I really do believe that.
Because Bush is just getting all his spin out there.
Well, and Bush has got a huge war chest with the ads on. I mean, I don't know if you see him. You see those Bush ads that are on every night where they're slamming him. And the strategy, I think, in the Bush camp is to go right after Kerry's, what was perceived as his strong point, the military record, and then say that he's soft on defense because he didn't vote for the... And, you know, I think Americans might be smart enough to read those political ads and know what they're saying, right? They're BS.
Remember,
LaToya got voted off of
America. Just going to say that. Don't forget American Idol.
Fight back, John. Meanwhile, back in the States, more human-on-dog violence to report. A police in the quiet community of Scottsdale, Arizona...
Did someone kick a dog for a field goal again?
No. This time they're looking... Or the sniper. Somebody with a pellet gun has been taking long-range shots at dogs while they do their business in the neighborhood.
Oh, my God, a canine sniper.
It's awful. He or she has posted leaflets to dog owners warning of killings for dogs whose owners don't scoop. Last Friday, Bomber the dog was the first victim. A vet treated him for a wound on his left side.
Oh, my. So if you see your dog squatting and then you hear, nyay!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got problems. Haven't found the sniper yet.
A hassle. I know when we go to Ocean City, I lie to my wife when I take the dogs out for a walk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we live down by the water.
Oh, right. You're so lucky. You got a couple of big ones.
Yeah, I got the big,
Clink. Yeah.
Colonel Clink, the big German Shepherd.
Right. You don't clean up after Clink.
Well, here's the thing. Frida gives me these little bags.
Yeah.
We're supposed to just take these bags. You're supposed to, like, get out rubber gloves and put the poop in a bag. I go, it's the beach. Mm-hmm. So when I just get up, ride on a sand dune. One of them drops one, and I just put some sand over it.
Uh-huh.
And then
a little later, you know, the family, you know, the Ardinger family comes down and put down their towel.
Mm-hmm. Mommy, well, that's not a conch shell. That's what I do. I don't like the scoop, so I could relate to that.
The sand is wet.
I can relate to that because I know I tick people off when I don't scoop.
Clink may need a bulletproof jacket. Since about 1970, audience research has done a lot of damage to the creativity of radio and TV. But if NBC...
That's right.
If NBC had listened to the advice from its researchers, there never would have been a show called Friends. The Smoking Gun website has gotten hold of an internal memo from 1994 that gives the show's pilot episode a failing grade, calling it not very entertaining, clever, or original.
Don't you remember that roughly the same story with Seinfeld?
That's true.
Seinfeld was the worst testing television show in the history.
And they love talking about that.
Of NBC.
The memo says test audiences were not very favorable about Friends' six main characters. While ER had scored a 91 out of 100 with these test audiences, Friends scored a 41, very similar to what Seinfeld scored.
Do you know to this day what the highest testing show ever is? CBS.
Judging program. Amy?
No.
What?
Hogan's Heroes.
Really?
It was so high they were sure that it was like fixed or something. They tested like three times.
Off the charts.
Interesting. Yeah. People love Germans, Rob.
And Bob Crane likes corn.
Hi, this is Wolfgang Juretzek from Germany.
What's happening?
Never forget.
Right.
I'm Don and Mike show.
Buzzy always says never forget.
I know. Finally, though, who didn't see this coming?
What?
A guy in Gig Harbor, Washington apparently didn't see it coming. Catherine Bratton says she shot her husband because he was looking at porn on the internet.
Oh, my.
The 56-year-old man denies this. Maybe that's why there was an argument. The guy took a bullet to the shoulder. Police say they recovered that gun and several other large-caliber weapons from the home.
Good heavens, no.
Yeah, the missus says she had no intention of killing her husband, just wounding him. Otherwise, she says she would have used one of those bigger guns and fired into a different part of his body.
Very nice.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yeah, no.
That's it.
it. We got to go. Thank you for listening. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 You.
He carves watermelons, Don.
Think Rupert's going to call tomorrow?
I guarantee it.
Right.
Make sure to floss.
Keep eating.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.